United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! 1-800 or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. It is approximately 6 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, and it's lunchtime. It's been a crazy weather day here in Northeast Ohio, where I am. I don't know if, you know, the sun wants to come out, the rain wants to come down, and the clouds want to cover over. So every time I go out and travel and as I go down the road, it's a little bit of everything as I just, you know, it's just everywhere, and I just don't quite get it. So I'm hopefully and hopefully that the weather will dry up just a little bit. I know we need a little rain, but I'd rather have rain at night and give me a little sunshine so that I can get through the rest of this day and then I can get on back home. Hey, again, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. I want to remind you that there is a Caribbean night at the B&O station on this upcoming Friday, which is tomorrow night, from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m., and the music is going to be by DJ C's, New York City's. You know, they got to have all these acronyms for everything. But it's New York City's DJ Swift Star. Music and food is included in the price. It's $25 in advance, and they want you to call Sandy at 330-793-3900, and it's actually in conjunction with Flambeau Caribbean Takeout at 7 Edgehill Avenue in Austintown, Ohio, next to Clippers Bar. Tell them that Tracy sent you when you go over there and tell them I said hi. Want to also, Father Notori, Father Greg Notori is going to be calling in at the bottom of the hour, and he's going to be talking about the wine taste over at St. Dom's. And I'm gonna listen. You guys are just gonna have to hold out. So those of you who don't know about St. Dom's and you can't wait and you won't be there, you're gonna miss it. But I'm gonna let Father Greg talk a little bit about St. Dom's. Mark will be in probably about 1 o'clock, and because you know this is Mark Knows It All Thursday, and I'm here by myself. So if you got to give me have something to talk about, you want something to talk about, if you got to tell me something, and this is a good time to do it, because you know when everybody comes in. And everybody knows it all. We get into discussion, and we don't always get out what we want to get out because they make it becomes one big, you know, snowball fight. That's what I think I'll call it. It's a big snowball fight. So you never know what's going to happen there. But it's going to be an open mic after Father Notori. But from now on, just give me a call. I want to hear from you. Want to talk a little bit about, I want to bring this up, about the election. About the election this past Tuesday here locally. I am so, and I don't know whether I want to do this now or I don't know how to say this. So I am a loss for words. Okay, so let me put it this way. I am very concerned about the polarizing of the city of Youngstown. Very. And the vote was very, very telling, as it was in the primary, which happened in past May. And there needs to be a coming together of the city, a coming together of community. Community means common unity. That's really, if you look at the etymology of the word, common unity is to be all one. And the racial divide as here in the Valley and how they vote is not healthy for our future. I was hoping to speak about this at the upcoming TEDx seminars that are going to be happening in January, but I guess it was not what they wanted, so I get what I get. So you guys have to get my speech here. This community has This community has over the years been very, very segmented past black and white segregation. And now since, you know, we lumped all European and white folks into one, there's just two. There's black and white, and then you got a few people that are of Latin descent. But overwhelmingly, we are very, very segmented. And I don't know if anybody wants to start having this conversation with me on how we become to unify. The mills, the jobs that were taking place in the mills, everything was segmented by a person's ethnic identity. So you had your Irish one place, and that was one job. If you were in the blast furnace, it was another race. If it was ethnicity. If you were in the office, it was another one. If you were, if all the jobs were based on your ethnic background. And that's just how it was here. And people came here and they got the jobs for the friends in those areas. And, you know, you have, and from my understanding, and I believe this is to be true, here in the Mahoning Valley, we have the most diverse population than all the, in all of the country. You will find someone from everywhere here in the Mahoning Valley. And when I say that, I'm talking about you have your Hungarian, Ukraine, you have your Saxons, you have your Slovaks, you have your Italians, and then different parts of Italy, you have your Greeks, you have your African Americans, you have some Mexicans, you have some Asians, and they're just immigrating. You have some people from Thai. They're just getting here also. But most of the people from the European nations, you will find some form of dialect and some form of person here. And everything was just split up into their own personal identities and their own personal communities. And as they begin to intermarry and intermesh, now they hold on to their traditions of their land, but then it's black and white. And I'm not quite sure how we make this better, how we address this issue, and how we begin to build as one. And we begin to formulate a society that is all about what is in best, is what's the best for our future and what's the best for our land. It just overwhelms me when I see it. And then when I see everything that happens in a night and goes on in a campaign, and at the end of the night, there's still a, we don't come out and support our own. And when I say that as African-Americans, all the hoopla, all the I can't believe in, you know, that the Michelin man is fat and he's round, all that kind of stuff, all the stuff that came out, all that hoopla, all the backbiting, all the hurting that they did with the Mahoning County chairman and all that, when the deal went down, you still didn't show him that you had any strength. You just came out. You didn't even come out. I'm like, dang, I'm gonna lie. You didn't come out. You didn't prove yourself. You just had a whole bunch of hot air going nowhere, doing nothing. And it's really, really kind of sad when I see that going on. And, you know, if you go and bark, then bite. But don't do a whole lot of barking and then go put your tail between your legs and go home. I'm sorry, that just makes sense. I mean, if you got a problem and things are not the way they should be, then you should fight to change it. But don't start fighting to change stuff and then don't change it. That's just crazy. Thought I'd say that. Sorry. Whew, okay. And then I guess I'll go there. I'm Christy, out in New Jersey. It looks like he won by a landslide. Want to find out if you guys think that he will actually become, he will run for president. And do you think that the conservatives will support him? Conversation that I've had over the last couple of days, most people say that it's going to be Rand Paul. That was a pretty interesting spin coming from a Democrat. They said they think it's going to be Rand Paul because Rand Paul would be the one who the conservatives will actually rally around, and they'll bring the conservative and libertarian party together. Then, you know, some people saying who's going to come out and who's going to box with, who's going to beat Hillary Clinton? And does a Republican have anyone that can even be a contender, or will it be a landslide? We'll see what happens. Hey, Diva, how are you? They act like they're not there. So, you know, that's what's on my mind, and, you know, I'm watching this Affordable Health Care Act, and, you know, I talked to some people this morning, and they said, you know, really, It's really not that bad. It needs to be twerked. It needs to be tweaked. But, you know, we're causing more ruckus than a little bit. And in some aspects, I will say, it may not be as bad as I hear the as I hear the media talking, but it's bad for the future because no matter what, if we're not careful, we're going to head into a single-payer system. And it may be falling out that's what they wanted in the first place, and they're just playing games with people. School board races, I want to say congratulations to Jerome Williams. He ran a very, very good campaign, and he is a deputy sheriff here, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm very, very proud of him for stepping up. I thought it was a great thing for him to do. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, Tracy. I was just looking at the MahoningCountyOhio.gov website to see the election results. Man, so they shot down the fracking charter amendment.
Absolutely.
I saw that, but which is interesting to me. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it's bad legislation,
I guess,
Alex.
Yeah,
unenforceable.
It is.
It's unenforceable. The legislation was bad. Nobody understood it, and you can't make an omelet without cracking eggs.
So, I have to ask you something because as I scroll down the list of all these names on here of people that, you know, yeah, for Youngstown mayor and city council and all this different stuff, trustees and all that. Is it true that, well, I see a couple people with Dem behind their name, they're Democrats. And
mm-hmm.
so, but there's only a couple. Most people don't have anything behind their name. Is it true that there's just no Republicans running in the county?
It is true.
I mean, in Mahoning Valley?
The only idiot I know that runs as a Republican in Mahoning County is me. I'm serious. I'm the only idiot that I know that runs in Mahoning County as a Republican. As just me. I'm the only dumb one that goes out there and says run.
You know, as I look at these results, though, for the Youngstown mayor, I have to say I wanted Demaine Kitchen to win only because we went to high school together. but because I would have just liked to see, you know, to see a Kitchen mayor, you know. But honestly, I don't know any really about his politics to really I wouldn't, you know, I can't. I wouldn't personally back him because from what I hear, he's probably, you know, not my my flavor of politics, but I would have liked to see him,
He's more of your flavor of politics than you think. That's what's wrong with the Republican Party. Demaine has more conservative leaning than anyone else. But because we've allowed the media to demonize conservatives and the word conservative, we have what we have. I mean, Republicans aren't racist. All Republicans aren't rich and for big business. Most of them are everyday hardworking people who just want people out of their business and want to go to work, do their job, take care of their family, and go home.
Right. You know, at the same time, looking at these results, I have to say that it is. If you look for the silver lining, it does. Youngstown looks like a ripe location for a libertarian candidate. Because nobody's going to vote for a Republican there.
They're not going to vote for a libertarian here either. You got to understand.
I think they would because with all these independent or candidates apparently like Demaine Kitchen to get 43% of the vote without being, you know, the the Democrat on the ticket. That's pretty big. I mean, that's pretty substantial. So people,
you're right.
So obviously, people are willing to vote outside of the major party if they, you know, at least believe in what you say and or believe in you. And so I think that's pretty big that the main kitchen got 43% of the vote, and he's not tied to a major political party. That speaks volumes for Youngstown, I think. And so,
did you see the president's council race? And this is what chapped my hide with Chuck Cameron, and I'm going to say this out loud on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Cameron, I have major problem when people are arrogant enough that on election day they go to Florida and their name's on the ballot. They never come out. They never shake your hand. They never tell you what their platform is. No one knows anything about Chuck's platform. They don't even know what he thinks. He is mayor of the city right now by default. He goes back to president of council, and we still don't know. He has never come out and really answered to the electorate. And he sends out a little postcard, and he puts a little stuff on television, and no one says anything. And when you go to ask questions, they find him in Florida. Now, you can't tell me that's not arrogant.
Well, you know, Florida's the place to be during the election time. You know?
Not when you're mayor. Not when you're running for office. People that run for office should answer to their constituents. They shouldn't be hanging out on a beach in Florida. And he does it every election. And he gets away with it. And no one says anything, and we keep on putting him back in.
You said Stamarone? Where is he at? I mean,
he's the president of council, second race. He's citywide. Right now he's the mayor of the city. He is the mayor of Youngstown right now.
Oh, okay, until McNally takes over.
Takes a seat, right, in January.
Okay. Well,
he went to Florida, Alex. He's down there with you.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, he's not running.
He is running. He's running for president of council. If the mayor should die, if he should get indicted, if he should quit like he is, he'll be mayor again, and we still don't know what he stands for.
Well, did they vote on?
Yeah, they voted for him. Yeah.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday, and he won by landslide, didn't come out, didn't shake nobody's hand, didn't say kiss my foot, didn't say goodbye, didn't send a card. Nothing, not a zip.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know the guy, but I can tell you that, you know, I'd imagine there's an enormous amount of stress, you know, that circles around election day, and so
yes,
I can understand if a politician decided not to even be there and to basically be in a stress-free environment, whether or not he wins or loses, you know,
Alex,
just he's going to have a good time
Alex,
that day.
Alex, he does it every election. He does it every election.
He's not worried, apparently.
He doesn't campaign. He doesn't do anything. Hold on, private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I don't understand that either. I think it's very stupid for somebody just to be able to get in, you know, just be able to just sit there and collect money for nothing. And I mean, he didn't go to not one debate. Not one debate. And I just don't understand how people can just be that stupid and just don't even care enough about who's sitting on the president or the council and just let this guy just sit there year after year after year after year. And doing nothing. He said he wanted to go spend time with his grandson, so he didn't want to be mayor anymore. Then they should just let him go do that permanently and put somebody there who really cares about the city and somebody's going to do that's going to make a change. I just don't understand why you just go year after year doing that.
And then we vote him in and let him get away with it. I mean, we don't say anything to him about it. You know what I mean?
I agree. I don't understand it. And that's why the people get what they get. When you don't complain, don't sit back and complain now. If you didn't get out and vote, you shouldn't complain. You know, I don't even live in Youngstown no more. I've been living out in Austin Town, but I helped the man, and I was out there with him, and I was at the polls. And I don't even live in there, but I care. I'm planning on moving back to Youngstown because I'm more concerned about the issues that go on in Youngstown than I am in Austin Town, because that's where I was born and raised. So I'm planning on moving back to Youngstown, but I just don't understand how you can just don't care, just let somebody just come and sit there on a seat and just collect money, just to collect it, don't care about what's going on.
So you saw that too. I mean, I'm just baffled by it, and I just don't understand. Hey, listen, call back in. I got a feedback on the phone.
Okay.
He got a Sprint phone. Hey, Alabama, how you doing?
What's up? What's going on?
How you doing, darling?
I'm chilling. I'm copacetic. I'm here having a good time.
Is Christy going to be the next president?
Look here.
Look
here. The media play this game every year. They tell you, look, this is what we want. We want the most liberal Republican they got. We can throw him out as the front runner, and that's that. And then somebody else come in, and they can probably have a shot at it. You know, probably like just like Herman Cain came out of obscurity and done their had it last time. And then what happened?
They killed
him. You know, they gave us Romney. They kept saying only Romney can win. Then they got Romney and destroyed him. So, I mean, they're going to destroy Christie. They got all types of – that's why, you know, they had this book come out saying how they've been vetting him. They vetted him for the vice president, and they saw how he had all these issues. They know that. The media knows this guy's a setup. It's a setup. So, I mean, if people are stupid enough to believe it, then, hey, it is. Well, I think the only thing that may help the Republicans this time – is the fault, is the sheer, you know, magnitude of the level of ineptness the Democrats are showing right now. I mean, they just utter failures to me. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. So,
did you hear what happened in Youngstown?
No, what happened?
Okay, you said that's just stupid. Let me explain what this to y'all. I'm going to break this down really quick, and then I'm going to take a break. Listen to this. We got a man. We got, you know, Two men running for mayor, one Democrat, one independent. Now, we don't have a two-party system here because Republicans, if we go on the ballot, people won't vote for us just because we're Republican, black or white. So the most I've ever gotten as a Republican running in the city is 30% of the vote. So the chairman of the Democrat Party, he goes off on some black folks inside the party, and they have a press conference, and they call him Uncle Race, Uncle Tom, all that kind of stuff. They dog the man out completely and put him on blast. Then they got this black guy who's running for mayor. They don't get the troops out. They don't get his vote out to support for him. So everybody, since the black folks don't come out, the white folks go and vote their boy in, and his name is John McNally. Fine, well, that's so fine. It's okay. John's a good guy. He's a nice person, and he'll probably make a great mayor. That's not the point. But they jumped up and down, cried wolf, but didn't bite nothing. Didn't do nothing, didn't make no changes, didn't dig no holes, didn't blow no roof, didn't do nothing. Now you got a second man in charge who's been president of council, I'd say, almost 20 years, off and on, because he plays ping pong with the seat. So he comes back and goes back and comes back, so he never terms out, and he always stays. He never campaigns when he goes. He never campaigns. Absolutely never campaigns. He's mayor right now because Jay Williams left. And now you got this guy, and they try to find him about something that he put down there. They say it's not true. They call him up, and he says, listen, I don't have time. I'm in Florida on vacation on election night. Can you tell me that's arrogant or what?
You're a Democrat, right?
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, hey.
They're all Democrats.
It is what it is. I mean, I mean, people,
I just got done asking you about
it. I mean, it is what it is.
They ain't got to be the toilet school for everybody.
I mean, look, it is what it is. And, I mean, people, if you're not going to hold someone accountable and they're going to, you know, they don't even respect you enough to come campaign for the position and you still give it to them, then, you know, that's on you. I don't even live up there, but I mean, it's the same problem you have all the way across the country. I mean, I guess Detroit thinks they're making a difference now because they got a white man in there. I don't know what difference it's going to make. I mean, it's still going to be – if it's Democrat, it's the same thing. He has the same principles. So, because quite frankly, they get their marching orders from, you know, from white liberals. So, I'm not surprised.
Alex, you agree with that? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I mean, do you hear that? I mean, do y'all hear the story of what I'm saying? That's just some crazy stuff. Then why make a fuss when the man dogs you out? He got to be a racist.
Well,
he ain't a racist. He's just doing his job.
Well, the thing is that when you're elected office, this is what's wrong with most politicians is that. When you're elected to office, I mean, it doesn't matter who put you there, and you represent all of your constituents, not only the ones that voted for you or lobbied for you or donated to your campaign, and that's really the problem, you know. So I can understand when people, especially people who feel like they're in a disenfranchised or powerless position, whether or not they are, that they may feel that way, then it just kind of rubs salt in the wound when you get elected and then you're ignored. So, you know, I have some sympathy to that because our system is corrupt in that manner, where that shouldn't, you know, that just shouldn't go on. Nobody should be ignored, but you know that's the politics that happens is people get elected, and then they make rules or laws or policies or whatever and force them on the minority, and which is completely abject to the founding principles of this country. We operate so backwards today. We have a lot of education to get people going back in the right direction, in my opinion. You get all that?
Yeah, I got all that. I'm just saying. Hold on just a second. 783, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hey,
Hello,
Father Maturi.
This is Father Maturi at St. Dominic's. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? Hold on just a second. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. When I come back, we're going to be talking with Father Maturi from St. Dom's. He's going to be telling you about what's going to be happening over there. Is it Saturday?
Yes, Saturday. This Saturday, November 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. here at St. Dominic's in the new parish center.
Lead a Michael.
Okay, I'll leave the mic open. You guys be nice. Father Maturi is on there, so y'all be good, okay? You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on W.
Alex, hey, Chris Christie, your boy, ain't he, Alex? That's your boy, ain't it?
Hello?
Yeah, right.
Hello.
Hey, Father. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm sorry, who is this?
Great. My name is Alex. I call into the show periodically.
Oh, okay, Alex. How you doing?
Great.
Alabama. I'm Bill. I'm from Alabama, but I'm in Georgia, in Atlanta. Why Christy ain't your boy, Alex? Why? What's wrong with Christy, man? Isn't he a good libertarian?
No. He's not a libertarian at all.
I mean, he's pretty much a liberal Democrat, if you ask me. He's pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they. It's funny, like they did exit polling after the election, you know, in New Jersey, and they did a poll for a national race if Christie ran for president against Hillary Clinton, nationally he would lose against Hillary Clinton, and even in his home state of New Jersey. His own constituents would vote for Hillary Clinton over him. So he's not, I don't think anybody's stupid enough to push for him to be nominated because he simply cannot win against Hillary Clinton.
He's going to try.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things I see, how is it that we can dictate 2 years out who's going to win an election when, I mean, come on, Giuliani was supposed to have it. And they said Mitt Romney for years. I mean, then you get up, and then, you know, if they put a guy on a debate, the debates really decide to me. Once somebody sees that person, like if Ron Paul had been allowed to be in the debate, the three debates, Ron Paul probably would have ran away with it. But that's what I'm saying. They're not allowing everybody to. So you can't dictate what's happening 3 years out because the people that are going to decide the election aren't really paying attention right now.
Yeah, but the same people who push for their Republican nominee, like they already knew they wanted Mitt Romney to be the nominee 5 years ago, you know, 6 years ago, and even doing that, you know, these same people control a lot of elements of the media, so they already knew.
Well, I think they set that guy up in Virginia. I think he jumped 12, 13 points as soon as Obamacare hit. I mean, it's kind of obvious where he, you know, had they had another couple of weeks, he probably would have won. I mean, he got it. I mean, what was he like, two tenths of a point off? So, I mean, then they had a third candidate that got 100% of the vote. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a dirty game. I can't stand it. Like, it's dirty, and it's like you're not going to really get any fair, like, observations. Like, people aren't just going to be fair and say, you know what, this is what needs to be done. Like, with the budget, everybody just needs – we need to have a national website just showing you what every dollar goes to, and then the people decide what to cut and go with it. We can cut something, but just to tell us every penny is necessary, that's highly unbelievable. So,
and he is a. I met him when I was running for office, actually, when he first came to town, and he's a real. I mean, I gotta hand it to Father Craig. He's a cool cat. Hey, Father, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. I've been talking about you a little bit.
Well, thank you very much. Good things, I hope.
Oh, absolutely. I was telling them that when I first met you, it was when I was first running for office, and I think you were first coming to town. And I actually met you at while I was campaigning, and it was at a wine taste over at St. Dom's in 2010.
Oh, yes. That was our first wine taste. This year is our third wine taste. Now, that was over at that was at Mr. Anthony's. Now, this year it's going to be at our new parish center. So we just built our new parish center. It's a beautiful $1.4 million building, 8,000 square feet, 4,000 square foot main hall. And so this year, the third annual wine taste will be at our new parish center. So we're very excited.
I can't wait to come over and take a look. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't been inside, so I can't wait to come over there and see it.
This will be our first major event. It was completed. It was substantially completed in June of this year. It was inaugurated on our patronal feast day, the Feast of St. Dominic, August 8th. You know, the bishop was here and a bunch of politicians, a bunch of people. About 400 people came out and celebrated the dedication of the new parish center. And so we've had functions there since then, many functions actually, and people love it. Everyone who comes, I get tremendous compliments. It looks beautiful. It's well designed. And you know what I like to brag about it is it's very well insulated. It's a very efficient building. It has lots of insulation. It has all high efficiency lighting. It has a lot of natural lighting, first of all, but it has all high efficiency lighting. You know, it has in-floor heating, which is very efficient.
Oh, really?
And you know, we're just very proud of the building. It looks beautiful. The architect, Joe Corrali, did a great job. The builders, Murphy Contracting, did a great job. And a lot of people donated to the project.
How long did it take you to build that building? And how long, if you don't mind me asking, how long did it take you to raise the funds to get that, to put that building up?
Sure. It's a $1.4 million project. It's completely paid for. It took us about a year and a half to raise the money. But that was a lot of hard work. I mean, I was on the phone all the time. I was in the media all the time.
Can you tell me, I mean, because and the reason why I'm celebrating this with you, but how many man hours did you put in a day, approximately, on average, to make that happen?
I would say my day begins at 8, and it probably ended around 7 or 8. So 12 hours, easily 12 hours a day. And that's, you know, and I'm a priest. I'm a Catholic priest. So really, my weekends are my busiest time, you know, celebrating Mass, talking with parishioners. So I'm doing a 12-hour a day, 5 days a week, and then my busy time begins. So it was a lot of work. For a year and a half, it was very stressful. It was a lot of work, but I knew that I had to strike while the iron was hot. It was we had a special time of grace, and you seize the opportunity when it presents itself. And the Lord was good to us. A lot of prayer, a lot of hard work, and miracles, you know. I mean, I believe in the power of prayer to work miracles, and I think that our new parish center and all the other things we've accomplished here to clean up the south side of Youngstown, I think really is a miracle. It's the work of grace.
Tell us a little bit about St. Dom's, because there are different types of Catholic churches. I just found that out. I thought they were all the same, but I'm finding out they're not. So tell us a little bit about St. Dominic and who they are.
St. Dominic's is we're Dominican priests now. So we're the priests here. There are four priests here, and we're members of a religious order called the Order of Preachers, also known as the Dominican Order. The order itself was founded in the 13th century by St. Dominic, and we celebrate his feast day. The church celebrates the feast day of St. Dominic every August 8th, and that's when we dedicated our new parish center. So the church is called St. Dominic's, after St. Dominic. It was built, the parish was established in 1923. So we're celebrating our 90th anniversary this year. And how providential that the Lord should give us a new parish center, a beautiful new parish center, as we're celebrating the 90th anniversary of our existence as a parish. Now, the church itself was built in 1955, the church we're using. It seats about 1,000 people. It's a traditional architecture. It's a Gothic. It's a nice, beautiful, rounded brick arches, a very high ceiling, cathedral-like architecture, traditional architecture. And the Dominicans tend to be a more traditional order. We wear a habit. We have communal prayer. We live in community. We enjoy the patronage of such great saints as St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican, probably one of the greatest theologians and philosophers that the church has produced. And so we're an order that studies, that teaches, and that is very liturgical minded, a traditional liturgy, not Latin, but English. English, you know, we follow the liturgical norms of the English language here in the United States. And it's a beautiful church. It's worth coming to see. People love it. And brides love to get married because it's a nice long aisle. The aisle is 150 feet long.
And,
wow. So it's a nice long aisle. Brides love that. And it's a traditional architecture. So brides love that. It's majestic, really.
Wow.
And
I've never been inside. I know that.
Yes.
I want,
you
I
have
want
to come
say,
see the church, and you have to come see the new parish center.
I'm coming on Saturday.
Great.
And I'm bringing some friends.
Awesome.
I want to say MBR.
Yes.
His funeral was there, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Carmen Cassis.
Carmen
Cassis, he had his funeral here, and I would say about 1,500 people came to his funeral.
Yeah,
because he was well loved, the owner of the MVR, and the Cassis family comes to Mass here at St. Dominic's. So it's it was very appropriate that his funeral would be here at St. Dominic's.
Absolutely.
And You know, it was a very sad thing because Carmen Cassis was a beloved member of the community. The MVR is a landmark here in Youngstown. So it's very much a part of the history of Youngstown is the MVR, which stands for Mahoning Valley Restaurant, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why it's called MVR.
Great family.
But they're a great family.
And that's, I believe, the Tissons are over there also.
I'm sorry?
I got some friends, Tissons.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because that's how they, you know, when I'm running for office, they tell me to come by their church. And they tell me what's going on. And then I met you, and then I run into you periodically, and I'm glad that you called me to tell me about the wine taste that's going to be taking place this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, November 9th, from 6 to 9 p.m. here at St. Dominic's in the New Parish Center. And there'll be lots of food. You don't have to eat dinner beforehand. There'll be lots of food. There'll be wine. It will be a great celebration. There'll be, you know, entertainment. There'll be a 50-50 raffle. There'll be a Chinese auction. There'll be all kinds of things. It's an opportunity to showcase, of course, the new parish center. It's an important fundraiser for the parish. So it goes to a good cause. You know, St. Dominic's has spearheaded the renewal and revitalization of the south side of Youngstown right here in the St. Dominic's neighborhood. As I said, we're an anchor in the community. We've been here for 90 years, and we're helping to revitalize, renew the community, tearing down blighted, boarded-up nuisance houses, greening out the vacant properties. We have an active school now in the area. Our school had been closed about a dozen years ago, and now it's a charter school, Horizon Academy. It has 415 students, K through 8, most of whom come from the immediate neighborhood. So that goes a long way to revitalizing and renewing a neighborhood. And then we have, and so the wine taste that we're having is a part of, you know, the good activity that we hold in the community. You know, my philosophy is the way you get rid of bad activity is you bring in good activity. And we do try to have a lot of good activity here. So, for example, in the summertime, we have program for the kids in the neighborhood so that we keep them active in good activity during the summer. Just recently, in October, we had what we call a neighborhood harvest. It's a large it's a family-oriented neighborhood festival that we have, and we had about 800 people come to that. You know, most from the surrounding neighborhood. It's an alternative to Halloween. Lots of food, neat things for the kids to do. We hand out candy there. I think we handed out 42,000 pieces of candy. That day.
Wow.
So it's there's a lot going on because St. Dominic's for the past 3 years now has established itself as an epicenter of the renewal and revitalization for the South Side here. And this and the new parish center is sort of like a pearl of that, you know, is lies at the heart of that renewal, because through it we can bring in lots of good activity, you know, not just for the parish, but for the surrounding community. And we open it up to the surrounding community. So there are people who are not members of the church, but who will be able to use it for various celebrations, family celebrations they want to use it for, birthdays, graduations, things like that.
Father, I have to ask you, there are a lot of churches, Catholic churches, you know, over on the south side of Youngstown, who have packed up and left.
Mm.
I mean, seriously. For your share over at St. Dom's, you guys have had your share of tragedy because of the environment that was there.
Sure. In January of 2020, it's an interesting history. I was made pastor here, so I just came on board here in November 1st of the year 2009, and the Feast of All Saints, I was installed as pastor. Just a couple months later, in January of 2010, our parishioner, Angeline Femignori, is murdered right here in the parking lot.
Correct.
And so, as you can imagine, that turned our world upside down. It was a tremendous tragedy. It it required us to take drastic measures. And then 8 months later, a second parishioner was murdered several blocks away, Tom Repchick. He was gunned down.
Correct.
In his car, and his wife, Jackie Repchick, was wounded. She has since recovered, and she comes to Mass here every week. So that's great to see.
What I'm getting to is, you guys stayed, and you're one of the few. With all the tragedy that has come to St. Dom's, what made you stay and not leave? Because you guys not only did you stay, but you got so involved. I mean, you've had various crime summits at your church. You've had
correct.
You've brought in your stakeholders. You've brought in your state office holders. You have invested another $1.5 million into that community, and instead of running away, you've planted a school there. You've done all this stuff there. Why?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. You know, very simply, the answer is simple. This is what the Catholic Church does. This is what a Catholic priest does. When the culture is in trouble, when society is in trouble, we come to help. We go outside the church walls and reach out to community to help. This is what, you know, Pope Francis talks about this. You know, going beyond the church walls and being very involved in the community, and that's what we do. We don't run. We stand and fight for the good of the community, and that's what that's what we do. And so we made a decision that we were going to stay and fight the crime, fight the blight, and we were going to use our resources to garner support from politicians, from law enforcement officials, from prominent members of the community, because you know the south side of Youngstown has a good history of good people who were very sad to see it go downhill, so many generous people stepped forward. You know, they said, you know, former Southsiders who now live out either in the suburbs or another state, they saw that the church they loved, St. Dominic's, they saw that the neighborhood they loved, the South Side, needed their help. And they just needed leadership. They needed someone to step forward and be someone they could rally around. And I think that's the role of the church. I think that's the role of the priest, is to be a leader and to give hope. You know, Tracy, I claim that my role as a priest is to give people hope, because it's very easy to become cynical and to fall into despair. But we can offer hope. Why? Two reasons. One, I believe in the power of prayer to work miracles. And I think we've demonstrated. I think the Lord has demonstrated the power of prayer to work miracles here on the South Side. And secondly, we believe in the power of the grace of Jesus Christ to change human hearts and affect real change in the culture. And these are foundational to our faith. So I think that's the answer to your question. Why did we stay? This is what the Catholic Church does. This is what the Catholic priest does.
Yeah, I had to ask it. I'm watching churches close up around there. I'm watching buildings be sold. I'm watching them being retrofitted and being auctioned off. I'm watching all of this stuff there, and then here you guys come. And they may not have been affected the way, because I don't remember anything happening at other surrounding churches in the Youngstown community. But I know when I think of St. Dom's, I think of the lady that came to pray that morning and didn't leave.
Right.
To go home, and I remember, you know, the gentleman who got gunned down around the corner. I remember those stories.
Yeah, they were.
And you guys,
tremendous
and you guys,
tragedies.
And instead of you guys running away and saying, we're leaving and going to the suburbs, you guys came out and planted some more money in the community and took charge. And said,
exactly.
We're not going to leave.
You know, I believe that God turns bad things into good. I mean, he can turn tragedies into sources of renewal. I mean, isn't that the message of the cross?
I think so.
The death of Jesus on the cross is the gateway to resurrection.
It is life and light.
Yeah. So God, who is so good to us, and he's always good to us, and he can turn even bad situations into good. It requires work. It requires suffering. It doesn't come easy. But it is a reality that things can be renewed, things can be revived. And look, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. If there's an answer for death, there's an answer for everything, for any tragedy, for any suffering. And the answer is very simple: faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the power of God to turn bad into good. This is our faith. This is our Christian faith. I think that it needs a leader. People need a leader to give them hope, to build morale. My job is to give hope and build morale. You know, the way I look at my job is I don't have to solve people's problems. People are pretty smart. Most people are pretty resourceful. They can figure out how to, fix their lives and fix their culture. But what they need is hope. What they need is someone to build up morale. And that was my job, and that's what I did, basically. And that's what I'm doing here. And we continue to do the work. You know, we continue to tear down boarded, blighted nuisance houses. We continue to green out vacant properties. You know, and we continue to work, especially with the kids in the neighborhood. You know, that's the future of our culture, is the children. And so we want to direct our resources, and I want to solicit prominent members of the community to direct their resources to helping the kids in the neighborhood.
Well, Father, tell us again, the wine taste is this Saturday?
Yeah, the wine
taste.
That's right. This Saturday, November 9th, it's at St. Dominic's. And it's a great evening. You don't have to eat dinner beforehand. There'll be plenty of food. You can get tickets at the door. Tickets are $50 a couple. So it's very reasonably priced. $50 a couple, so that's $25 a piece, and you have plenty of food, wine, the different wines. It's a variety of different wines. So you get to taste a variety of different commercial wines. And also, we have a variety of different foods, and the foods are paired to each category of wine. So as you taste a wine, you eat a particular food that goes with that category of wine. So it will be a fun night. You know, there'll be entertainment. There'll be a 50-50 raffle. There'll be a Chinese auction. So it's a great evening. Lots of food, lots of wine, and the money raised goes to a great cause. You know, it's continuing, it's helping out St. Dominic's to continue the work of renewal and revitalization that we're doing here on the South Side. So it's a great way to help us help the South Side, help to renew and revitalize the neighborhood.
Well, Father, I want to thank you for coming on with me and reaching out to me. I appreciate you so much and what you do over there at St. Dom's, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Great. I look forward to it also.
You're welcome. Are you going to have that cookie tray? You know, you should have a cookie table.
We have a dessert table. We have a dessert table.
Go. Very good.
And we have a dessert wine. So
okay.
We have both. But, I mean, if you don't drink wine, of course there'll be soda and other beverages as well.
I
so,
just
but
know
it will
this
be
one
a good time.
You have good desserts over at St. Dom's. I'm just making sure that they're going to have the dessert table. Not the dessert wine, the dessert table is going to be there. So I notice what to do before I come.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, Tracy. I appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
All right, God bless.
God bless. You're listening to Tracy and...
Hello, anybody there? Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, you won in South Carolina. You in office?
No.
Dang, man, I thought I was going to come up there and get some of them government contracts. No bid, man. Dang.
Nah, man, it turned out very nasty, Bo.
What do you mean? They went at you, they turned the belt.
Well, what happened was it was in a ward, you know, and it was pretty much what I call a Democrat enclave, but it was a nonpartisan race. So you didn't she put it off that office, you know.
Hello? Hello?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yeah, you was chopping up real bad. Go ahead again. Oh, okay. Say again. So he put out a what?
She. It was a she. She put out that, you know, I was a Republican, and then she started the race baiting and telling everybody that I'm just for the white people. I've been brainwashed. You know, I'm a sellout and all the rest of the stuff. And I guess they pretty much believed it.
It's an uphill battle, man.
I told
my brother that. My brother wants to run for city council, and I told him, I said, man, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people that when it comes to politics, it's like dealing with animals. I mean, they're not going to think. They're just purely reactive. They just react to stimuli. They're just a living organism, but that's about it. They don't think critically what's best for me. Who has my best? So.
And the crazy thing about it is, this woman, you know, she's a witch with a capital B. I mean, she gets whatever, you know, she goes out and she gets whatever she can for herself, and the ward is suffering, man. It's the same. It's been the same look in that ward, the same condition for the 20 years that she's been in there.
But Sam, you had to ask yourself. I mean, these people kind of deserve what they come up in. So, I mean, if they go, you can't just go out and just vote blindly for people for a party for so long and then expect to just keep. You know, I mean, you get what you deserve. I mean, so when they suffer, it's because they deserve it because. They're not really thinking, you know, they're just reacting. So I don't feel no compassion if these people, you run for somebody, not to say that, hey, if they don't vote for me, then they get with it. It's not that bitter, but at the same time, I mean, you think critically, and people don't have critical thinking skills. They pump them out without them on purpose.
And the thing about it, though, Alabama, is this. You know, there have been certain businesses to come in and, you know, they come in, they do their scope, and they do their study and everything. And they've gone to city council meetings. And at city council meeting, she's been so combative, man. I mean, it's just like an angry, you know, she's like an angry black woman. And, I mean, she just causes so much discord.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I know this is very unpopular. I feel like black women are probably willing, because they're probably the biggest part of why we where we are. And I know that sounds real bad, but.
Yeah,
I heard a story. They say most of the overseers back in the day were actually women. They don't, you know, but these women, big, heavy-set women, they would. I mean, when it comes to us people deciding whether or not we're going to stay somewhere, these women make all the choices because they're the ones that, you know, are out here trying to be leaders.
Yep, and that's sad, but it's true. It is really true. And I don't know. I don't know what the breakdown of women there were, but but that came out to vote. But it just, you know, all I could do is just shake my head at the end of the night because I'm like, I'm
gonna tell you something. If you're gonna run for a district and run for office, I told my brother, I said, look, if you're gonna run for office, you need to go in these people's district months, years out, every Saturday, knock on doors, introduce people, shake hands. You're gonna have to start way out. Like, you're gonna have to have a forum. Like, okay, what are you looking for? You're gonna have eavesdroppers coming in. They're gonna try to emulate what you do, but you gotta kind of be proactive on this. Because if not, if you try to just run the regular campaign and just regular, like the normal traditional way, these people can't. Like, you got to think for them. You got to almost show them in writing, look, this is how it's going to help you. This is stuff that you probably would think they should understand that you're going to have to kind of explain it to them. And then you're going to still have some arguing. You might get 20% that way. But because they just hate anything, they can't let go of it. Like, that's the bottom line. So, I mean.
Alabama, I'll tell you, man, I had a young lady. We were just, I mean, she's probably about 28, 29, and we were in the restaurant, and, you know, I was talking to a guy about it, about the, you know, the whole Obama speech when he came out, and he said that, you know, what he really meant when he made those comments. And she walks over, and she just starts talking about, well, why y'all on top of Obama? Why y'all this? And why y'all, I'm saying, because the man lied, sweetheart. He said, well, he didn't lie. This is what
I think Mark's on his way. And I am, I was talking about Chuck Sammer and want to remind you that on this upcoming Saturday over at St. Dom's, come on over, they're going to have a wine taste. It's a very, very nice event. You'll be surprised at the great foods and wines and pairings and things that they have there. It's really, really a nice event. And like I said, I've gone to the ones in the past. I even think that you get to vote on the wines you like the best or something on that order. But I can't remember because I don't remember. It's been a couple years ago. Also, want to remind you that on Saturday night is going to be Caribbean night at the B&O.
Yeah, I'm on.
And Caribbean night means Jeff gets to speak in his Caribbean dialect.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah.
Wagwan, what you dealing with?
It's going to be at the B&O at 530 Mahoning Avenue Friday, which is tomorrow night from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. Music is going to be by New York City's DJ Swift Star. Music and food is included. It's $25 in advance. They want you to give a call to 330-793-3900. Flambeau Restaurant. Flambeau, Caribbean Takeout, located at 7 North Edge Hill in Austintown. Go over there and get you some plantains and pick up a ticket at the same time. Hey, guys, how you guys doing on the line? Me and Jeff have to fight here for a minute.
That's right. You're messing with my friend.
I like Chuck. This is not personal.
It's personal to me.
Why is it personal to you?
Just because his timeshare is on the first week of November, you want to mess with him. You leave him alone.
Jeff,
he can do what he wants to do.
Jeff, sweetie, honey, you're wrong.
And you are wrong.
What?
He did campaign. He put an ad in the Buckeye Review and in the Vindicator. So you just stop your hating. From the side. You hear me?
Jeff.
If you're hating.
Jeff. Can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Yeah. What?
Jeff. Mm-hmm. Tell me one thing you know about Chuck Sammer's platform.
That he came in there and straightened out his thing is he doesn't want
Tell me his platform.
His platform is that he is a strict a manager of the city workers. City workers don't get those, you know, time offs and things like they used to. And he kind of reorganized things and got some things together to where the city workers have to be accountable for the time and they have to work and put in a full day's work, which many of them hate.
Yeah. What is his tell me his platform. I didn't ask you about it.
Good government. Listen, I can't say much. I can't say this.
This is not personal. You tell me where you saw Chuck on the campaign trail in the last 3 months.
Never.
In the last 20 years.
I never seen him on the campaign trail. He doesn't go.
So tell me.
He might be allergic to campaigns now, Tracy. There has to be an explanation.
What's the salary? What's the salary for the mayor?
$110,000.
So he's getting $110,000. He's just chilling. He ain't even work hard.
That's what I'm trying to tell
you. Oh, and he had money before that, so, you know, he's an ex-teacher.
He's been in office 20 years, and he's not campaigning so we got some county
commissioners in Montgomery, Alabama, that knew ahead of time that Alabama State University was going to expand, went out and bought acres and acres of land in neighborhoods,
Waited
5-6 years, soon as they bought it, sold it for a crazy, ungodly amount. Now they're all millionaires, and the black folks still vote for them, all Democrats. Black people love them. They swear by them. These people win 90% of the vote every time. Bunch of crooks. Straight crooks.
What's wrong with that?
It's one of the most densely populated black cities in the country. And that just goes to show you, like, you are not from that cold, dead hand, you're going to pry their vote. Them black folks going to vote one way. That's just the way it is. And just accept it and move on.
Even if it's not in a partisan race, they're stuck into it. They're stuck in the rut.
South Carolina, tell them what happened to you, South. Tell them what happened to you.
Wait a minute, hold on, South. Green, Alabama, how you going to host my show?
I'm just saying. I mean, look, you know what, Tracy? Let me say it right. I'm going to say it right here. Let's say something, Tracy. You know what? You are a nice woman. You got a good heart. Because I swear, sometimes I'll be on here like, you have guests on here, yeah, I'm opening up a lemonade stand over there, and we want you to come. I'm like, man, boy, Tracy, hey, I come up there, I do business. I'm on your show, guaranteed. No questions.
I ain't going to let you on my show because you're going to take it over. I give you a rope and you think you a cowboy. Alabama,
South Carolina got to say. Just tell them what happened to you, man. Tell them how they did.
Hold on. Alabama. I'm getting to that. I know what happened to South Carolina, too, and I wasn't even on the road. I talked to him that night. He called me in the middle of the night talking about they whipped my tail. And I told him the next time I'm coming down there and run his campaign.
I told him he needed to start out. Yeah, he needed to start now getting people's attention now. And for the next time it comes up, they know who you are. You've been knocking on doors. You got to knock on these elderly, catch them at home, at least a couple of Saturdays out of the month.
Alabama. It all depends on the Smith. You got to hear his story. So I'm gonna let him tell us. Alabama, South Carolina, you got all hour to tell your story because you my boy.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you for stepping up.
Bill Green Show. It's Bill and Friends Show. You have the floor.
Well, everything went the way, you know, as far as the campaign, you know, I went out, knocked on doors, met people, you know, did the meet and greet, had my people going out, and, you know, I had some flyers, but Tracy was going to skip me some, but I waited too late for that. But I had some done up locally. It cost me a little bit more, and it cost me a lot more, but you know, it was saying I used your artwork, though, and that was outstanding.
Don't say that because Jeff will get me. I'll be in trouble with Jeff.
That's right.
Jeff's waiting on me to do some stuff. He's been waiting for months.
No. I'm upset with it. Don't matter. I understand, and I'm glad she helped you out, South. But she is not right, and I may bust her out today. But I don't know because I walked up on her someplace yesterday, and she did not expect to see me.
You're supposed to get 5,000 flyers.
I didn't expect to see her.
South Carolina, they got
you're supposed
like
to get 5,000 flyers for $100. I mean, that's always. I used to promote. That's the cheapest way to get them. 5,000 out of Florida.
Alabama, listen here. Jeff got a low jack on my car.
No, I don't.
I went out last night and then looked up and Jeff was walking in on one, and then I'm trying to hide.
I'm hearing from a little corner of the room. All this laughing and giggling and having fun and who in the world? And then before I got to who in the world, I'm looking, my mouth dropped, and
Jeff,
and I'm gonna leave her alone.
Jeff got a low jack on my car. South Carolina, you the man of the hour.
I want South Carolina. What the girl say about Obamacare? She say he didn't lie. What she say to you?
She say he didn't lie. He just you know, they're not gonna let him do what he needs to do, But about the campaign, though, here's the thing. You know, I did everything that I was supposed to do.
No, South Carolina, you got to tell the story because people don't know who you are.
Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, Oh, okay. I ran for city council in the town that I'm in. It's got three wards and three at-large seats. I ran in Ward 2. It was the most populous ward in the entire city. And ran against an opponent who happens to be related to me. But, you know, she's been in office for 16 years. And, you know, everybody knows that she's crooked. On different occasions, she does, you know, a lot of race baiting and so on and so forth. But she put it out there that I was a Republican, which I was not trying to hide that. But the fact of the matter, it was a nonpartisan race. And now after the fact, I found out that the Republican thing was one thing, but she also was out there saying that I'm just sold out to white folks and I'm just going to change the whole structure, you know, of the town and just going to forget about, you know, War II and so on and so forth, which she has done because the town, that ward looks the same way it did, you know, 15 years ago, no improvements. But at the end of the night, when the votes came in, she had 215 votes and I had 36. And it was a shake your head moment. And, you know, it just something. The way things happen down there, you know, you have businesses that come in and to the city council meeting, and they see her, and she's disruptive, and nothing gets done, and they don't want to come to the town. They don't want to have nothing to do with it because they know city council is not going to be, you know, a pleasant thing to deal with, and so that's my election story. So it just kind of reiterates to me that.
Tell me, before you go too far, I want to tell me how you felt. Because
when I lost?
Yeah, because see, I don't, I mean, seriously.
You,
I mean,
you sound like a young look. Go ahead.
Hold on. You funny. you know, I've been on the losing end and the winning end of a campaign. And when you're the candidate, And next thing you know you get your supporters around you, and you are a. I mean, it's worse than it's not like losing a football game because you are passionate about what you're doing. I mean, there's a lot at stake.
Right.
And I want you to tell. I mean, because people need to hear what candidates go through on the other side of the stick. Because see, I get mad when I lose.
Well, Tracy, what happened to me was, you know, it was three things. I got angry, okay, and I didn't get mad at the people. I got mad because I'm like, I cannot believe this happened, and then I felt like this overwhelming sense of sadness for the constituents. I'm like, yeah. You have no idea what you've done. You have no idea what you've done, and I mean, and that's where I'm at now because I'm like. I can't believe you voted this one back in for another, you know, another.
Well, I mean, but they get what they deserve, though.
No. See, when you a stake, see, it's one thing for you to sit on the chief seats, but when you become a stakeholder and you actually finance it and put your money and blood and sweat and tears and stay open, it's totally something totally different when you lose and you know. That the person that you lost to doesn't have the passion and the concern that you do.
Well, the guy I told you about a minute ago that got all that land and jacked the price up. Every year he only campaigns twice a year. All he does, he runs an ad with a picture of him and Obama shaking hands or Clinton, and then he talks about he comes out. He's you know every Tuskegee is only 30 miles away, so he plays a little Commodores, Jesus is Love, and he talks about come to the Selma, Montgomery. Oh, listen now. He put that on the hill, say, come to the Selma Montgomery March. You know, we suffered too long black, for our rights. Come on out. Come on out. That's all he do. He do that screaming commercial. Every year he's been doing it since I was little. And every year they come out there like ants going to build an ant bed. That's all they do. So, I mean, that's why I say it's hopeless for people like that. These people, I'm just sorry. I mean, it's not that say, hey, you don't vote for me, then you know, you're stupid. I'm not saying that, but at the same time, I just – It's just, man, it's just, this guy has done nothing to deserve people's vote, but they go religiously, especially people over 50 and 60. And I can see why our party, our communities die, because a lot of people in that age group drop the ball. And I'm going to go ahead and see what it is. They have.
Hold on,
they
Alabama.
They go out and just vote one way, period, And don't think
hold
that,
on.
That's how I look
hold
at
on.
It.
Hold on, Alabama. Don't say nothing for a few minutes. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, you know, I'm listening. South Carolina, he shouldn't be too upset. I mean, I'm looking at Cleveland, and it's just it's terrible there. And everybody complains about it. The people in the town complain about Cleveland, their neighborhoods, the police, the fire department, the schools. But they go on and on and on about it. But what do? They re-elect the same guys over and over and over again. And it's like, you guys deserve it. You deserve it. You put the same guy back in office to make the same mistakes. And it's ridiculous. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
It bothers me that I have to suffer along with that. You know, I got to deal with that. And then, you know, and then still I get called stupid, this, that, and the other. And let me give you just a, for instance, a type of thing. You know, I got a set, something that says, Wall Street says Obama's not a socialist and not this, that, and other. And from the Rachel Maddow show. Now, I'm supposed to take something twisted by a twisted chick. A twisted mean chick, and
she
I'm supposed
mean.
To think that that's the truth. And I'm up there saying, you are.
That might be a guy while you're talking.
Say that again?
Rachel Maddow might be a man. Ain't no telling. But go ahead.
Oh, man, you know, I wouldn't doubt it.
She wants to be. She wants to
be
a guy.
So,
can I ask a question to people? And
yeah.
This is gonna be old, because there's some things I don't get, and I don't know if you all know. I really don't get a whole lot, because I'm real slow. What is it that we? I mean, well,
what rights don't we have?
Because Rachel, Rachel Maddow, I ain't never seen nothing like it between her and
Melissa
Harry Perry. Some people don't need to be. They need to be on their own fantasy TV shows.
But they only got 300,000 viewers. Don't nobody really watch that stuff. It's sad.
Yeah, but those that do spread the word.
They spread it like.
But that's
like,
why you see Obama's poll numbers going to hold at about 35. But he's going to hold solid at 35. I guarantee you. He's not going to go no lower than that ever. He's going to hold solid.
I doubt it.
I believe
if he goes in the 20s, I'll give you all $100. That man ain't going under. Look, black people, illegals. And it's just a bunch of stupid people out here. It's enough people to hold him solid. I'm telling you now. He ain't going lower than 35.
I don't think. I
he ain't
I don't,
getting
I don't,
impeached either. He ain't going to get impeached.
No,
y'all
no,
need
no.
to get
he,
that up.
No, but you got to realize he's got the Clinton syndrome. Remember when Clinton. Remember. Blackfoot held up.
Yeah.
I heard
he's
Rachel
right.
wants to date Debbie Wasserman, but that. Neither here nor there.
Oh, that's crazy.
I knew I'd get a laugh out of you on that one. And I'm
doesn't
putting in another
much,
vote for her, by the way.
You know what?
Yeah, I don't think the girl is ugly, and so that's
you still got bad taste.
I don't have bad taste at all. Not at
I'm
all.
A
yeah,
bad
you
taste.
Beauty is in the eye
no.
of the beholder.
No.
You're right.
Listen. No, it ain't because beauty is in the eye of the
beauty
beholder.
Beauty is in the you got
I
bad
have
eyes.
Excellent taste.
No, Jeff.
Oh, yes,
you
I do.
You got excellent taste according to Jeff.
No, I have excellent taste. Period.
No, you've got excellent taste according to Jeff.
Okay.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not good looking.
But you know what, though? Not to change the subject,
take
but when that guy
ahead.
That guy
that's
was telling
wife.
You guys about when he ran for office. He went to high school with my mom. My mom told me that he was a real guy, was trying to help the people when he first got in there. Then he got in there, he was making a little $20,000-$30,000 a year. This guy's probably worth $20-$30 million right now. I mean, all of it's got to do with inside information he knew about buying property, who was gonna buy what. He would get out ahead of the development, which I think is a misappropriation of your position, of funds in your position, I think so. I mean, these guys, man, and one of the guys I was trying to develop one of the city council guys I was trying to develop a neighborhood when I was doing houses, somebody had some land. He told me he would have the city come do some streets up through there, but he wanted a kickback. This is the guy I played basketball with. He's in city council. His name's C.C. Calhoun. These guys crooks, especially the politicians that get elected. And black people deserve it, but they deserve. I actually kind of pardon me. I hate to say I feel good when I see him, when I see it go bad. I'm like, you eventually, one day, maybe you may snap out of it. But right now, hey, I'm sorry. I don't have no compassion in that regard because I feel like stupidity gets, you know, stupid is as stupid does. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? I agree with you until a certain point, and I don't think you can draw the line. I mean, I'm in a small, almost all-white town, and they're doing the same doggone thing.
Yeah, we're talking about liberals.
Oh, I'm saying you can make the same mistakes over and over and over again, and they still put you in office over and over and over again. It's ridiculous. It's like, what are you thinking of?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Go ahead, Alex.
All right.
If you do the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same mistakes.
And that's called insanity. Go ahead, Alex.
And I had a question. This is Covina, man. I want to ask a question.
Hold on, Covina.
Okay. Yes.
So,
go ahead, Alex.
Y'all tell me something about Detroit, because they just elected the first white guy as mayor in like 40 years or something like that.
I know, hooray. I mean, no, hooray for the change, not because he's white, but hooray for the change.
So tell me this, is it because Detroit just went bankrupt, so they was like, we need a white guy to fix our credit?
No,
you better believe it.
No, you want to know what it is? You know what it is?
I'll tell you what it is.
It's like a drug addict or an alcoholic that hit rock bottom. They all of a sudden they say, "Oh, I better make a change," and it has nothing to do with white or black. You got to make the change. Something's got to change.
He's still a white Democrat, so it's probably going to be the same. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's the same thing.
Here goes the thing. I had a question. Go ahead, Covina, man. Go ahead, Covina.
This question fits right into where you guys are talking about right this second. And thanks for letting me inside you guys' bubble. But my question is, especially to Alex, since he was not Alabama. I mean, since he was the one that was harping on this, whatever black town that you're hating, pick Detroit or any of them, but open ended. Which state? Which city is not important, but my question is important. I want you to tell me what political, let's say it was a corporate takeover, and you can take any city's municipality, mayor, whatever, and move it to Detroit, and all of a sudden Detroit's going to change and become. Just tell me which city that would be, which mayor or political council or whatever that you could take and transfer it to Detroit or whatever black city, and all of a sudden that would be a good city to live in.
Well, as you said, Alabama. Can I answer the question?
Yes, sir.
Number one, the people think a certain way, so you can't just transfer a system. There are cities like Galveston, Texas, Sandy Springs, Georgia, where it's running like a sewing machine. They're debt-free. They're doing people. They're prospering businesses, low unemployment. But if people think us, if you think the way a government functions is a certain way, it's only human nature when a person comes in and says, hey, you do this, I'm going to vote for you. Then you give them what they want, and you're in power. Meanwhile, you're getting richer. I'm talking about corruption. That's all I was saying. I wasn't saying that it was, you know, Democrat, Republican, even though 90% of these cities we're talking about are Democrat ran, but it's about the people. Unless you change the people and their thinking, the system won't change.
But I'm asking you. I'm giving you the omnipotent power to come in with whatever.
I just named two cities. Galveston, Texas is one, and then Sandy Springs, Georgia. They're debt free. They're operating very efficiently. Their city government is so. But the problem is, you have a lot of people that have been trained to think government first. So coming in and doing that, you're going to be met with a lot of – so when you say omnipotent power, I mean, I'm going to have to come in and be able to really make some changes. And you can't, because people's thinking is a certain way. So, I mean, yeah, I mean,
Hold on, guys. Let me throw this into the mix. Let me tell you what's really going on here. We have conditioned a good part of the inner city urban society, which contain of people of color and people of poverty, into the mindset that they can take from the system and not contribute back. And they can have all the powers and all the liberties and all the freedoms and all the services that they choose and not contribute to it. And that only works for so long. In Detroit, you can't give everything that they've given to the unions and given to social systems and given to everybody else and then rape the system at the same time with no one contributing to it. The reason why Detroit is broke is because when they had money, they didn't spend it wisely, and they allowed the entitlement process to sustain, and they did not have a two-party system, which made their whole system corrupt. And we need, it's not a black-white thing. It's a systemic thing that comes with greed.
That always comes.
If you still ask my question, if you could take, let's say, Ron Paul, or whoever is your favorite politician, I'm going to take him, I'm going to go to Detroit, and he's going to sit in office, and the white supremacist governor is going to support, going to make him the manager, like he did the other day.
City manager, okay.
Yeah, he's going to make Ron Paul the city manager, and Ron Paul will come in, and he's going to transform Detroit. And he's going and all those jobs that were shipped out.
Covina man.
I'm asking you a question.
No, you ain't asking a question. You making all kind of slappy steaks in there. Dude, everybody ain't an Uncle Tom because he's black and he can navigate his way through the white man's system.
Well, forget that. That's a side point. Stick to the question.
You shouldn't have said it.
Is he a Republican?
No. Yeah, he might be.
I don't know.
I don't even understand the question.
What he's asking.
Me neither, but just
I understood
point.
Exactly what
I gotta say. I'll be right back.
I understood.
Family, unique, individual.
I probably put a lot of caveats on that, my question still the same. Since Alabama is saying that the whole system is messed up because Democrats, I'm saying bring in a Republican. What could you bring in a Republican if you balance the city budget? That's what he's seeing. If you balance the city budget, then all of a sudden, all these 25% unemployment, the crime rate, all this stuff, all of a sudden, this is going to just evaporate.
Those jobs didn't go anywhere; they were eliminated. All right, and that's what happens. They were just eliminated. They're working at skeleton crews now. They don't need a whole lot of people to make cars anymore.
Yeah, I would have totally agreed with you. Machines replaced a lot of workers, but then all of a sudden, I'm just pointing out. I mean, Detroit is just one example. If you have a bunch of unemployed people. And who are taking unemployment or taking food stamps or whatever it is, how is a mayor going to come in and fix that? Is a mayor, is he going to come out of his pocket? Is he going to all of a sudden start growing job trees?
Well, here's the thing. If I was told a long time ago, this is when I lost my job. We're all like rats. We got to go where the cheese is at. All right. So
yes,
a lot of those people in Detroit are going to have to leave to find something else somewhere else. You can't sit there and just hope that the jobs are going to come to you. You're going to have to go to the job. They're going to have to relocate. A lot of people are going to have to relocate. I've seen this everywhere. I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
I think you're correct. And here's the thing, Detroit. The reason why people came there was because the jobs were there. It wasn't as if the people were there and then the jobs grew up around them. People migrated from the south.
Yeah, they migrated from the south to the north, and now it's just come full circle. You're going to have to you're going to have to leave. The jobs are not here, and everybody wonders why. They want to make it a race thing, and it's not a race thing. People are going to move out of these cities. They're going to move out of the cities not because they don't want to be next to each other. There's no jobs there anymore. That's why they're leaving. They're leaving for that reason.
Nobody said race. We were talking about jobs or unemployment. I was just trying to ask.
But there is such a thing. But there is such a thing called gentrification. And gentrification is systemic and institutional in nature, particularly for lower socioeconomic people, no matter what their ethnicity. And you can't deny that as far as...
I agree with that.
Yeah, and when you have you know, public housing projects being torn down and Section 8 vouchers being eliminated by one county that's in the city and then being reestablished to a county that's 40 miles away, that's what you've had happen in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, the San Francisco Bay Area, and probably every other city.
You have that in Cleveland, too, I'm sure. They moved it right out to Mayfield, Solon. Yeah, it's happening everywhere. Exactly.
So you're
100% right.
Yeah, well, I'm Brown Beasley. I'm generally 100% right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're about as sarcastic as I am. Go ahead.
Oh, you got to have a good time sometimes. You got to smile a little bit. I just happen to be able to step in and nail this one. And unfortunately, it may be, you know, the lower socioeconomic people, but a lot of times in the city, the people that are living on Section 8 and public housing are overwhelmingly, you know, the great majority is black. And what it's done, it's caused a whole shift. What you have sometimes, that, you know, a lot of times there's a criminal element in this population. And what it's done, it's taken this criminal element and it moved it out 40, 50 miles away into the suburbs, and it's overwhelmed the stressed police force. It's a whole dynamic. That's one thing they didn't figure. The suburbs have become the new hood.
But that's
to a point.
All of what you said, there was no accident. Go ahead.
Pardon?
No, I was just saying everything that he said wasn't an accident. That was
that's by design.
Yeah, exactly.
Between developers, city and county government, that's by design. That was a plan. And what you see is that, you know, a revitalization of areas in downtown cities where they've taken old office buildings or old buildings and they've turned them into lofts. And they made city living, fashionable again.
It's not that way in Cleveland.
Yeah. I was saying that it was on purpose that the people in color is on the bottom. That's not an accident. And that, following slavery and Jim Crow is like really the white establishment really didn't have anything useful to do with black folks. So, you know, the FBI, they started COINTELPRO. They brought in drugs into the community. They had a real established, racial cleansing and prison, complex. All that was by design. And I think, like, a lot of times what you see in, like, Detroit and stuff is just the residue. Once they drop the nerve gas, which is the drugs, it's pretty much over for the community.
All of those things you say are true, but
I'm too old and I'm too white to go be a pip.
No, you're never too old and you're never too white.
Okay.
The pips, Gladys Knight and the pips were non you know, they were not racial at all. They were colorless. They were a colorless singer group. Absolutely.
I like Gladys Knight. She's
but I want to answer Covina Man.
No, yeah, Jeff. Wait a minute.
Sir.
I want to talk to Covina Man.
Wait a minute.
Sir.
Okay.
Only you.
There we go.
Girl, I need it. Oh, I don't know my voice today. Deliver me through thick and thin. Just stop this
story. Oh, did you invest in Twitter?
I did not. I had no money.
Twitter went public today.
If I had some money, I would have bought it.
It came in at 26. It's climbed to 34. And it's climbed
shares of it. If
well,
I had money.
What's that right now? The
26.
No,
25. 25.
It's up to 46 at one time. It was up to 46.
It's climbing still.
You know, I don't.
Twitter right now is trading at $45.14.
I could buy one and a tenth shares. That's how much money I have right now.
And I was talking to a guy this morning.
And I don't know why I don't qualify for the inside initial offering.
Listen, before I even go back to you can answer Covina, but before we go too far, I've got to tell you something. We've got to invent something that can go from zero to $2.6 billion in an afternoon.
I can give you something that will go from $2.6 million down to zero in an hour.
No, Mark. We have to come up with something.
Yeah.
You know, this is Osai Media. This is Tracy and Friends. But we got to do something that we can take from zero to $2.6 million by 1:42 in the afternoon.
Zero.
From 9 o'clock, wait a minute, from 9 a.m., not 6 a.m., from 9 a.m. to 1:42 in the afternoon.
Zero to hero. That's what we need to do.
Because Evan Williams, co-founder, he wasn't even the founder. The co-founder of Twitter has now just made it to the new billionaire status.
Oh, good for him. Think he'll have any money for the organizations I want to give money to. Should I call him up and get a donation?
You got a number?
I don't have a number for him.
Co-founder of Twitter.
Oh,
he became a billionaire.
That's good for the local economy here in San Francisco.
From 9 o'clock to 1:45.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
You know, the only way did you ever see the movie Trading Places?
Yes.
I love that movie.
I think that movie is so real. and that movie is very, very real in perspective.
And I can't drink orange juice without thinking about Trading
Places. Without thinking about that, that's good.
Well, if you want orange juice, if anybody really likes really good orange juice, I got to make a plug. You got to go over to Sunshine Delight over in the Village Marketplace. They have fresh squeezed orange juice straight from the orange into the jug. That is the most absolute great orange juice I've ever had in my whole life, and I never want to go back to fresh frozen. Okay, I'm done.
Public Enemy, not Digital Underground.
But Public Enemy?
Digital Underground was Humpty. Do the Humpty Hump.
Oh, that's the nose.
Do the Humpty, yeah.
Okay. But it wasn't NWA.
Stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin.
But the Clock Man was there, right?
No.
Okay.
Well,
Thank you.
He was around then, but he was with Public Enemy.
Okay.
I loved that. Chuck D and all of them. Them boys was rough.
I've been in meetings all day. Did the world end, Jeff?
No, not quite.
We're not there yet.
No. We have a few years left.
That's going to go. You want to answer Covina Man, and then go.
Covina Man.
Has,
what?
He
yes,
has
sir.
To stop this. Covina Man, you got to stop with the Uncle Toms and the white supremacists in the middle of every question.
Let me tell you, it doesn't have to be. If you took the
before you do that, tell us the question so people won't listen.
What he really wants to know is if you take one of the heroes of the Republican side of things and put them in charge of Detroit, would they be able to straighten it out? And I'm going to tell you just like this. The governor, the Republican governor of Michigan appointed a Republican as the city manager and gave him, you know, pretty much a free rein to get some things done. They're going to straighten Detroit out. You watch this one.
Oh, yeah, they're going to
okay.
do that.
You watch this. They're not going to let that go and not make good on that. But I'll tell you somebody else on your side that could do the same thing.
and that is the Mayor Coleman of Columbus, Ohio. Okay? Mayor Coleman is a black Democrat, but he is a very strong fiscal guy. And the Republicans love him because he is strong fiscally. And everybody wants to always make that out to be that you're mean and you want to take things from people, which is a lie from the pit. But the thing is no, that's not it. You have to run the thing so there's enough for everybody to have later.
But, Jeff, like I said earlier, what we fail to realize is you can't continue to suck money out of the system and not put money in. Right now, I mean, if you look at the cost per the taxes in Detroit for you to pay your property tax in Detroit is higher than buying a house.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was in a meeting this morning, and we were talking about Youngstown and its income tax and how it's hurting the city so very, very badly.
Yeah.
Can I say this? And the thing is this. When you get into this situation, this mindset that you have to supply all of these people, the poor people, with everything, you lose. Because somewhere you're going to have to support the poor people enough to get up off their out of what they've fallen into for whatever reason, and so they can get something themselves.
But what I'm saying is, if you look at what's going on in Detroit, and if you look what's going on in the urban settings, it's really not about poor people. It's about people who are of average means being raped by the system because they have given everything over to their union employees, and they no longer can afford to substantiate that.
Absolutely.
And you can't pay any more income tax, and you can no longer afford any more property taxes.
That's, you know what's going to be interesting? It's going to be interesting to watch what happens in New York with this new mayor in New York City.
Who's the new mayor?
De Blasio.
Yeah.
This guy is a kook, an absolute nutcase.
Yes, he is.
He is a whack job leftist socialist flower child from the 1960s, kumbaya, and we're going to redistribute the wealth in New York City. And that's what he's saying out loud.
He said that for real?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, what do you do with somebody like that? You've got all the major corporations and banks. All they got to do is move across the river to Jersey.
Let me know how that redistribution of wealth in New York works, okay?
Well, I can tell you how it's going to work. I'm telling you how it works right now. The black middle class is destroyed. The regular middle class is destroyed right now. And that's who's paying the weight of Obamacare. That's who's paying the weight of these idiotic moves to shut down coal and all these other forms of energy that we need. You know, the economy is chugging along despite what they've done in D.C. Why? Because Bush opened up the ability for people to drill on land, and those wells and those permits are just coming into play now because they were authorized back then. That's why you have the shale boom. That's why you have all this stuff. This didn't come as a result of something that this president did because he's trying to shut it down in spite of.
Yeah.
See that?
Wow.
There we go.
Wow, I can't believe you guys.
What,
you
no,
can't
guys,
believe what,
Brown?
I'm sitting here keeping my mouth shut, shaking my head, that you guys actually believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth.
Because it's true, Brown. Now tell me where it's not true.
Jeff, first off, if you think the answer to Detroit or any other blighted area is going to be solved through the political process,
exactly.
I've got news for you.
Exactly.
The problems in Detroit are far larger than any politician or any political party or group can solve. The problems are deep, and they're real
smart.
Deep.
Hold on.
He's smart. He figured it out.
Covina man. One
yes, ma'am.
At a time. Let him
just
finish.
I was co-signing what to do.
I don't need you to co-sign.
And as far as the rest of the, you know, the anti-union, the, you know, the heavy taxation, this is all just the same common right Republican themes that get repeated over and over again. And I'm not going to even address them. I mean, I'll point them out because you guys are so deep in the bubble that you believe that actually to be true.
Can I please answer this?
Where is the truth?
The truth isn't
on the left or isn't on the right. It's probably solutions are probably somewhere in a mix in the middle.
Go ahead, Covina man.
Yeah, I was just going to come to answer. That was my whole point. It's like the issue started off where, you know, Alabama was talking about, well, these people are voting for the same politicians and they're living in poverty. And this gentleman right here was smart enough to figure out, I give him credit, he's smart to figure out that the whole thing is it doesn't matter what politician is in office. It's the circumstances that the people are living in. And the people are living in, they're the ones that's saying, okay, I want to have this politician because we don't have jobs, we need X, Y, and Z. Now, if you can say that if this particular politician showed up, but where Jeff said all of a sudden Bush and the oil drilling, is that going to get jobs to people in Detroit? It's like, no. The people in Detroit, they need, or any inner city, I'm just using Detroit as an example, they need specific jobs. You need to see there's a job over here with an opening and it pays X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't matter what politician is in our office is doing X, Y, and Z if it's not a job. You got millions
Please.
Of people hold unemployed.
On,
Hold on. I said my name about three or four times. I had said no.
If we get past that point, I won't be able to answer it.
Hold on. Go ahead. Alabama, you can't jump in. Go ahead,
Jeff. I'm done.
Now, what he just said was absolutely ridiculous. Because guess what? If somebody's taxing the hell out of you, Covina man, and your business cannot make money, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fold. And when you have Democrats in control of a city, they tax the hell out of you. That's what they do because they don't know any other way to get money to raise up their friends and to buy their votes but to tax you. So, yes, when you get the right political person in charge of the political office, things will change. The state of
one
Ohio.
One quick rebuttal
things,
on that.
Well,
just one quick rebuttal.
The state of Ohio
Go ahead and finish.
Has changed from the last idiot governor we had that just spent up everything and didn't know how to control anything or manage. And now we get Governor Kasich, who, by the way, forced Mr. Clinton into a balanced budget along with Newt Gingrich. And by the way, and now we have hundreds of millions of dollars in the rainy day fund again, and your credit rating of your state has climbed because when you make sure you control the conditions for businesses to thrive, then the people can get jobs, and you do still, and you have money coming into your coffers to take care of the poor. But when
may I say something?
When you strangle the goose that lays the golden egg,
may I say something?
When you strangle the goose that lays the golden egg with taxes around his neck, you don't and regulations, you don't have commerce.
Go ahead.
That's why.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't know what Jeff said. You know, what am I missing? When if I have a business over here, and it's in an area where I have to pay a 2 or 3% income tax on my income, and all I have to do is move across the street to another area and not pay 2 or 3%, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to move across the street. These cities, at least, and I'm going to use Youngstown for an example. For the most part, these cities continue to exist because of nonprofit institutions that can't be moved someplace else, have to pay income tax. In our case, it's the university, the hospitals, government, schools, they're all going to be paying income tax. For the most part, the professionals have moved out to the suburbs. Businesses have moved out to the suburbs where they don't have to pay any income tax. And, you know, Detroit's a perfect example. And New York's going to be the next example. You know,
Hold on, Covina man.
Listen, one at a time. I'm going to call you out, I promise. Go ahead, Alabama.
No, I was just saying that. The point I was making, he didn't ask me. He just assumed that I was saying that to go vote 100% Republican. I'm just saying it's stupid. Look at this system. Hey, I have something for you, and I'm going to vote and put in your campaign, then that person goes and does nothing for you because they know you're going to be there. And I'm just saying that voting one way is stupid. I didn't say vote either way one way. But Detroit, he said, I mean, Vita Man made a point about doesn't help business or something like oil is not going to help Detroit. Well, if you got $2 gas, businesses have more money. Products, when you go to a grocery store, products will be cheaper. That's why oil is the top five, what is it, out of the top five richest businesses on earth, they're oil companies. These companies are doing things they shouldn't be doing. But if oil was $2, which is affected by oil, then people in Detroit would see more benefits from that directly, very fast. Now, I'm not going to make the point that Bush, what he did or what I'm going to, I do think that there is a correlation between cheap oil and jobs. Anybody can see that.
Alex, you got anything to say?
Yeah, I do. I think that there is an assumption, a faulty assumption, made by most people. They think that the solutions come from the government, and I need I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, and I think you need to remind people, or at least I am, that the government is nothing but force. Nothing comes from the government. The government cannot create anything. Anything that you get from the government has to first be taken from someone else. And we have to keep that in mind. And so, because when it comes to economic activity, it's really not up to the government to do that. The only people or entity or whatever that's going to create economic activity are the people. And so what we have to remember is that if economic activity is not going on, usually it's because the government, through force, because that's all government is, it's usually because the government is inhibiting the people in some way from taking action in their own best interest. And so, and that's the case with Detroit. I wouldn't say just put any Republican in there, but if you put, say, a Ron Paul in there, there are so many things that prevent Detroit people from doing for themselves, you know, to in terms of commerce, creating their own businesses, and why the money isn't flowing, and that's really should be the purpose of government, to remove the barriers so that people can live the most free and purposeful lives.
Create the atmosphere.
But let me say this: what is happening is, and let me say this again, and then I'm going to take my break. What's happening with our society is, if you look at the top heaviness of the administrative costs of running government, every program has government employees. All the government employees, all of the expenses that they're using, it's weighing in. Your police and fire, the unions, everyone who works for the water department is in a union. All these things that are going on, and they are holding people hostage because they are top-heavy with employees that you cannot get rid of, no matter how bad they are, and their hands are held to the fire. And you can't do that inside of a – it's like teachers. You know, we've got teachers inside of the system who shouldn't be there, but you can't do anything with them, and they only have 300-minute contact time. You got to understand that. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's hard to be a good citizen in this forum when I have to listen to the...
...could be another milestone. The Senate is expected to approve the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It's a bill that would allow workplace discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender...
Are we in the green room yet?
Are you?
I believe so.
Yeah. I wish I'd have... Well, maybe I'll practice it and get a chance to say it on the air, but I'll say it in front of you guys. Jeff is in this right-wing bubble. Things aren't just all one way. The fact of the matter is that U.S. businesses, for the most part, are doing better than ever. Stock values are at all-time highs. Capital... is relatively cheap. still you're not seeing hiring.
Yeah, that's because of. Well, I was just going to say
that's because of greed, and it's so much easier. It's so much easier for these large companies to use overseas workers, okay, in order to supply their needs, and we suffer on a few levels because of that, and that's basically because of NAFTA. It's really changed the way business is done. And we suffer two ways. Number one, it affects our society because a lot of customer service call center jobs in specifically could be, you know, a fairly decent paying job. Not a career, but a fairly decent paying job right here in the U.S. We also suffer because it's hard as heck to even deal with these people when you call for customer service with your cable company, your bank, or whomever, and you're speaking with someone that may speak good English, but it's still difficult to understand them. Politicians and government, all they are is the functionaries of business. Okay, they're not responsive to the people. They're responsive to the money that gets them elected. Therefore, politicians and government show business's favor, and that's part of the reason why you see the squeeze that you have.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Beasley. You know, I agree with what you're saying. That one caveat, though, is that when it comes to because you mentioned how the stock market is doing better than ever, businesses are doing better than ever, and that's true. And you know, yet there's jobs are still people are still struggling, and it's exactly for what you just said. We're living in a proto fascist regime where the government and the corporations are in collusion with each other.
Exactly, and they call him a socialist.
And I
hear people on right wing shows on BTR. I mean, any idiot can have a show on BTR. Any idiot with $38 a month, and they seem to combine the words communism, fascism, socialism, and they combine them all together to think it's all the same thing. And when you attempt to give them basic definitions, first off, communism is a form of government. Socialism is an economic system. And just trying to explain that to them, you're going to have a fight on your hands.
Yeah.
It happened yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, I guess, just education, you know. Political education.
They'll swear they're right and swear that I'm crazy.
Yeah, but you know, I want to get to like really to solve what you're talking about. You know, I don't think that, for instance, with the stock market, like why is it that stock market is at all time highs, yet we still have 15% unemployment in this country. Why is that? Some people debate with me about this, but it has everything to do with our financial system. And people think, oh, you're about to talk about that Federal Reserve stuff again.
But that's important.
But yeah, it is, and what people don't realize is that the Fed is pumping $85 billion a month into the banks, and so
the stock market up. That's where they put the money.
So, yeah, and so what else would you do if you know that you have a surefire way of making money, or are you going to loan the money out? It's a no-brainer. You're going to invest the money on the stock market, and you're going to gamble it because it's not even your money. It's free. You didn't even do anything for it. It's just given to you. And so it's these types of things that the government does that you know, with any kind of special program, special favors that comes either from the government or sanctioned by the government, you know, because Fed isn't part of the government, it stamps out competition. It diminishes the opportunities of others. Like, for instance, like how you see Walmart's just growing and popping up everywhere, you know. And I have nothing against Walmart. They have, you know, they have a great business model, and I have no problem with them, you know, getting products from China and all that stuff.
But it kills competition, like you said, and it kills mom and pop shops and communities. That's why you have so many communities that fight them coming in.
Yeah, but see, they're people fight the wrong thing, in my opinion, because the reason big
toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm watching a news line on Fox News right now, and it says that President Obama is meeting with state United States senators who are Democrats who are anxious over Obamacare. Listen, the last time I saw somebody go up an airplane one, he came back with a changed mind, and they voted him out of office. They better be careful.
Well, they met with him last night, and right now
they better be careful.
Well, here's the thing: they met with him last night and expressed their concern. Now he goes to Texas today, and he's slamming everybody's, you know, view that is criticizing Obamacare.
Listen, that I gotta watch my language.
That's right.
He lied.
Ooh, Joe.
4 years ago, 5 years ago, he lied to get reelected.
Joe,
the man is a liar. He
Joe,
is a liar
Joe,
in every
Joe,
sense of
Joe,
the word.
Joe,
I agree with you 1,000%.
I'm tired of all his falsehoods. Or he didn't. It's an untruth. Or it's a Pinocchio. The guy's a liar. He fooled you, folks. He fooled you.
No.
And you're going to have to pay him the price. And now he's trying to stick it up your rear end in the process.
Joe Wilson, that is, that's so hard.
Why did you take say you had 85% of the population covered by health care. You had 15% that for whatever reason didn't have health care. Why did you screw the whole system up for all 85% of the other people?
They didn't do that.
Yes, they did.
No, listen, if you want to keep your health care, you can. Jeff, what's the problem with you?
That's because that's a lie.
No.
I'm upset because, you know what, back when he was saying it, I picked up the act and I read it. And it took me all of about 10 minutes in that 2,000 pages
to
find where it says that what he's saying was a lie. Because guess what?
I'm going to start calling you
Hello?
Joe.
It's up in
Joe.
Elections.
Hello?
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
Listen here.
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to understand something.
Be careful. I can hear you now. This ear set's working.
The reason why you were reading something is because you're doing it the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to read it.
I'm not.
No.
Okay.
You got to pass it first.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll find out what's in it. And I'll tell you what's in it. Don't you read it yourself.
Okay. So, you know.
Haven't you told him the rules?
Hello?
A Emanuel interviewed on Fox News, Rahm Emanuel's brother.
No, what's he doing?
He's the guy that wrote this thing. He is just...
He's a nice guy.
He is the worst wackadoodle I have seen on TV in a long, long time.
No.
And this is the man who wrote the health care plan, and if anybody read what he's written over the last 15, 20 years, you would know what a wackadoodle he is.
Listen, this goes into the same thing that you're talking about before in the last hour. We were talking about city management and or management of municipalities. And it's the same thing with the President of the United States and the administration. You guys
Hello?
Are getting this all wrong.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello? This is what I want to see the end of the matter. House lawmakers set to talk to Benghazi witness.
There's another liar.
Because
come on, guys.
Horrible
That's
video.
Another lie. I didn't know nothing.
The lying son of a
I
gun.
Didn't know nothing about it.
He didn't know.
Tracy.
Yes, Diva. Diva's going to answer me.
I just wanted to say hi. I'm in Chicago with our mutual friend at his gathering. So I've been listening. I can't really say anything because I was in class. But I just want to say I agree with Brown. You guys are in y'all little right-wing bubble. You need to burst it and step into reality.
Well, everything they're saying right now is not a lie, though. It might have a slant, but everything they're saying right now is true. And, you know, show me a politician, and I'm not defending the guy in office, but show me a politician that doesn't lie or doesn't push his agenda through.
He fooled the people into believing that he was an honest man. That's what he fooled us. He was supposed to be
ethical.
They all run as honest men, and none of them are honest. The guy's a lying son of a gun who fooled the public and is screwing up our economy.
Our economy has been screwed up.
Brown, go ahead, sweetie.
How about someone just having good intentions, and even in their good intentions, things just go wrong?
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, my dear.
I almost said it, Tracy. Yeah. Listen. I almost said it. This man ain't never had no good intention. The man behind him is George Soros. You have to understand who the hell George Soros is.
You be quiet for a minute.
I just let you talk. Okay, you don't know who George Soros is, and I do know what he intended, because he said so in his book. And if you're too stupid to understand that, the book tells you that he says we have to tear this thing down to build it up like we on the left want it to be. The progressives want it
to be. Breathe.
This is me. I mean, I'm okay with this.
Okay. I'm like, this is the one thing that I don't understand.
Hold on.
I have to go back into class.
Are you listening to us during the class?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
I can't believe that somebody could possibly think this when the man told you what he was going to do. Now he's taking over one-sixth of your whole economy and put it in the government's control, and now it controls every single part of your life, and you think that's a good thing?
Yeah.
I don't see anything, but
here's the thing. I don't fear government control or government like you fear government. I see it in a totally different way.
I don't fear government.
Do.
I dislike
you
it.
See it one,
understand
no, no,
something,
you see Diva. One way.
Diva,
you see it
Diva.
One way.
None of that liberal BS with me, okay? I don't fear you. I don't fear anybody on the left. I don't fear none of this stuff that you can say to me. It's a bunch of mess to me.
Guys,
I hate it.
I dislike it. Guys,
it's evil. It's wicked. I'm sorry.
Please. It's Thursday. We don't go that crazy on Thursday.
Right. Wicked. I'm going back in class.
We saw on Thursdays. But we're on Thursdays. You're not usually here on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah, I came in because I knew Michael.
We saw on Thursdays.
And I was up the street.
We saw on Thursdays. We don't blood pressure on Thursday.
Nobody has.
But you're not listening. Woosaw. Yes. There you go.
Ooh.
Okay. No, we don't do none of that. We don't do make no wrong.
Isn't it ohm?
We don't own. We're from the 60s.
We don't know.
Okay.
We own.
South Carolina or is that Mike? That's right. We sing Kumbaya. Is that you, Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm just listening to the conversation on both sides, and everybody's polarized as far as I'm concerned.
You cannot
attribute motives, because then you get into subjective reasoning. But I will tell you this, and I'll answer one of Diva's questions. Is he allowed to make a mistake? Yes. Is somebody allowed to be wrong? Of course. We're all human. But at what point do you finally admit to yourself what I've been doing doesn't work, and maybe it's time I start listening to some other folks and get their ideas? That's what I hold them accountable for.
Agendas have to be pushed, and agendas will be pushed.
Yep.
And none of these guys that get in office take steps backwards unless they're forced to, unless it's politically expedient.
Right. But let me say this to all of you. What's going on here is truly political theater. And, you know, very, very few people understand progressive movement.
No.
And the reason why, because progressive is a word that you think means progress. But that's not the true intentions of the word progressive. And a lot of people buy into the ideology of progressive movements with the definition meaning we're going to make this process be productive, when in actuality that it's not. And I don't think anyone – there are a lot of people who are flower children, or and I don't know of a good, better work. And Mark, maybe you might want to help me with this. I don't know of a lot of people who,
you,
I mean, where they
always get
utopia. They believe,
want.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, that 60 thing, that whole 60s movement where we were all going to live in peace and harmony in the age of Aquarius and all that kind of stuff.
What happened to me in the 60s? You know, what I lost that. The 1960s was free sex, free drugs, free love. And I'm working for Richard Nixon.
Yeah, you missed
I
out.
Am not
for
a,
free.
What's
but you worked
wrong?
For Richard
I lost
Nixon
out on
for
the whole
free.
Decade.
But you worked for free for him. So you got part of the free stuff.
Yeah, well, you know the thing is that, you know, you talk about Richard Nixon, and you're going to hold people to different standards. You know, Richard Nixon lied to the public, and he did some not-so-nice things, and there was a hue and a cry, and they threw him out of office. This man now, and I agree with Jeff, this man, if you look at what he wrote before he was elected, if you look at his history, you look at who he hung out with, and you look at his philosophy, he knew exactly what he was going to do when he got elected, and he lied to the public and said, you can trust me. And when a president loses trust, there's only so many excuses you can have, whether it's he didn't know about the NSA, he didn't know about the IRS, he didn't know about Benghazi, and God forbid he didn't know about Obamacare, because he really didn't mean to say what he said. The guy's either stupid or he's a liar. So if you look at intent, this is what bugs me. I knew when he was looking at the camera 4 years ago or 5 years ago, because I took the time
Joe,
to go and read it.
Joe, you don't read it.
Well, the point is that he's talking about intent. This man's attended every single thing that he's wanted to do. He looked at the American public in a camera over and over and over and over again and lied. And there's people now who are sick that are paying the price. There's families that are paying the price. We're all going to pay the price sooner or later, because it's not going to stop at what you're hearing right now. It's going to go clear into next year, because the employer mandate has been extended a year.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about people on the left that they're all worried about everybody's rights, and they're worried about taking my rights. But let me tell you something. When it happens to you, and it will happen to you, you're going to be singing a different story. It happens over and over and over again. Well, you know, as long as it's them, I don't care. If they can do it to them, they can do it to you. And that's my issue. And
we have
an
electorate that is so low information comes out of Washington, they believe if it was one of their party members that told them that.
That's right.
When the president was saying these people are losing their insurance because it was all these terrible insurance companies, the truth is they wrote the law so these kind of policies are no longer legal. That's why these policies are getting canceled. But the average person doesn't know enough about their own checkbook, let alone their own friggin' insurance policies, and it's just, I'm just so sick of the low information, dumbed down voter in this country that has been in the public school system and been educated by the media, by the paparazzi media, the entertainment media, the not journalism but by media. They've been educated in the last 20-25 years. If you are under 45 years old, you hardly know anything in this society anymore. If you're under 30, you don't even know what a 12-year-old knew 50 years ago about the way things really work. And it's just absolutely disgusting. And they can come on TV and say anything because they count on two things. The public doesn't understand anything more complicated than the left shoe goes on the left foot, and the public really has a very short memory.
And not only that, Mike, I got to throw this also in the mix, and I heard this a little bit earlier. It's my understanding that they've spent X amount of millions of dollars in the federal dollars to send to Hollywood so that they can be educated on Obamacare, so as they write it into the scripts so people will really understand what it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you read that, Mike?
And you know, when they went after the healthcare system, and Jeff is right, it's 1/16 of our economy.
1/6.
It's 1/6, rather. Excuse me, 16%. I'm sorry. Thank you. Here's what you're not seeing, because it looks like it's a benefit. It's the old Monty they used to do on the street, where you're watching one hand and the other hand just move the shell with the peanut under it off the table. So you can't win no matter which hand you pick after a while. And that's what they're doing, the old Monty on everybody. Here's why. This is the first step to socialism. Now they have socialized health care. They are already working on energy next, because energy prices, based upon their policies, will force prices up and up and up. It's our Middle Eastern policy. It's the global policy. Well, we have plenty of energy here in this country. And when the dumbed-down, low-information voters start hearing a politician that starts talking about, we'll help you with your energy, you watch this Department of Energy we have will basically take over the energy industry also. And that'll be another.
Right. Well, they've already done that.
Not quite.
Not quite.
They're regulating
them to the point where they're controlling them as if they owned them, but that'll be next. We can only
they're
get
gonna
this
take
to work
mineral,
if we have a government energy program.
They're going to take mineral rights.
Yeah.
And that's why you can do that right now through the doggone healthcare system, because all they have to do is manufacture the situation that you can't pay for whatever you've gotten done. And they come take your property.
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on, Brown. Wait a minute. Hold on. Mike was saying something. What were you saying, Mike?
They're going to take over the housing industry. That's what this big bubble burst was about. Now they're going to buy back all these bad mortgages and stuff. Remember, they'll take over the housing industry next. So they'll control housing, they'll control energy, and they'll control your health care. About the only thing left would be transportation and fuel. The military, they always control anyway, and that will complete the run on the table for socialism.
Yeah, and people don't seem to understand how it creeps in. And, you know, I know your comment about the low information voter, and I agree, but my anger is directed at the media.
folks. When you said low information voter, my mind went to you mean no information.
No
voter.
Information voter. You know, they. My anger is directed at the media. I don't understand. You know, I'm 60. I'll be 64 in January, and I remember when Walter Cronkite, you know, got on television and said, you know what, this is a crock in relation to the Vietnam War. What is this media going to do?
They're
what
not,
is this man
Mark, but see, this is, now hold on, this is where I come in.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996, enacted by a Republican Congress, signed by a Democrat president, caused this to happen. It allowed the media to become a conglomerate.
Yeah.
And they allowed it, and they began to buy it up. And we had this major consolidation of radio and television. So right now, most of the stuff you watch are all owned by the same people, and most of the stuff you read. Do you realize just in Youngstown, you have stations here, and they are owned. You only have six stations, and four of them are controlled by one person.
And the same with the newspaper. The other one controls the newspaper or the television.
So tell me, how are you supposed to be decipher the facts when I'm only going to give you what I think? Because that which Bertram wrote in the paper on Sunday, in the editorial,
what
about the mayor's race, it should have never passed the editorial desk when it came to editing to let that out. And we say nothing about it.
Well, I say a lot about Bertram.
I'm just saying. It was very demeaning. Am I wrong, Jeff?
No, it was very,
it was condescending.
Very condescending, demeaning, racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very nasty.
And he dissed our Board of Elections, which is the best Board of Elections in the state of Ohio. And I'm not using hyperbole. It is outstanding. We have an outstanding Board of Elections here.
Yeah, we do. And I'm on it.
And you're on it. And they just do an outstanding job. The and the Republicans and the Democrats work together. It's wonderful.
And actually, it's one of the best in the state.
Yeah.
And again, we allowed it. I've got problem with this. So when you talk about the media,
yeah,
whose fault is that? Because remember, the media is supposed to be controlled by the FCC, which is public airwaves, and it's no longer public anymore.
Did he infer that we stuffed the ballots? The last sentence in the editorial. Let's go around and pick them up and stuff them. I looked at that and I thought, holy smokes! Who let them print that?
But my question is, how could you have the gall to type it, put it out, and then publish it?
Nobody. You vote with your feet, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, we've got radio stations like this. We've got your program. We've got the Internet. We've got bloggers. We've got Drudge. We've got but, you know, people got to go search that out, and they don't want to.
That's why we're on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. I mentioned Drudge, and people laugh at me. They think it's a joke. Read it.
That's why we have Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is our new source of information. Him and Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Why is it that you think the president campaigned on Jay Leno and Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes, he did.
I'm not lying on him, am I?
No, you're exactly right.
And Oprah.
No, that was Oprah let him out.
No more Oprah.
Oprah let him out. His second term, he campaigned on The View. He campaigned on The Talk. He campaigned on Jimmy Kimmel, and it was Jay Leno or David Letterman.
Letterman. And Leno does a pretty good job of skewering him. And I'll tell you what, his stock probably went down last night with the Country Music Awards and that parody on Obamacare with Carrie Underwood and it was funny, you know, over six people served.
Go ahead, Fitz.
Yeah, from what I heard, I didn't see it, but I heard it sounded like a standing ovation. Those two guys.
Yeah, the audience really liked it. Am I talking to Sticks?
Yeah.
Hey, Sticks, how you doing?
Good, Mark. Hey, did anybody else see the news that Venezuela's entire health system's collapsing?
Yeah, I saw that.
Of course. Looking at a country that was taken over by a socialist dictator through election.
That's an oxymoron right there.
Happens to like what?
You can't have a dictator that was elected. But go ahead. That's an oxymoron.
Oh, okay.
But I hate to point out simple facts. Go ahead.
Ahmadinejad
was Hitler popularly elected?
Yeah. Did you notice when Chavez
became a dictator later and there were no more elections?
No, sir, not at all true.
Did you notice how good their health care was when Chavez became terminally ill? He went to Cuba for help.
Right.
Well, Cuba has a very advanced medical system.
Yeah, right.
It's the truth.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth. Well, I don't know.
I see people flying in and out of there all day, don't I?
Do you think he would have felt safe in the Mayo Clinic?
Well, that's the whole point. He didn't feel safe coming to the United States.
But Cuba does have an advanced medical system.
Go ahead, Alex.
What Mr. Beasley is saying is the truth. Cuba has one of the best medical systems
in the
world.
They don't want to hear the truth.
And people all over the world, including Europe, go to Cuba to train. Doctors all over the world go to Cuba to train. And so
that's just American propaganda.
I'm not propagandizing, I'm saying you want to peg Cuba as this, you know, backwards country because of communism and all that American propaganda, whatever.
Who said that?
It's my understanding it's not available to all citizens.
No, not at all.
Not all citizens can access. No. You got to have the money to actually go there. You can't go in there and say,
Don't you remember when Big Puffy Boy went down there and made the so-called documentary that he could not call a documentary? And then the people came out and said, we don't get anything like that.
You can walk in and get treated.
Here's the thing about Cuba. That if that's the case, then how come in the 80s when I was in the Navy, the guys that I knew that went to Gitmo said that they saw the Cubans pulling their trucks around with oxen because they didn't have any fuel to run them. How can you have a quality health care system when you don't even have money to buy fuel for your military vehicles?
I don't see the relation.
They have a health care industry. Those are two different animals. They do have state-of-the-art medicine there because they'll do things there that we're not allowed to do here that Europe will do, and they're doing things down there that Europe can't do, but we do here because they're free to do that because Fidel just signs off. But don't confuse a tourism healthcare industry with a healthcare system for all the populace. That's two different animals.
Okay.
So that does make a difference.
That.
Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. Sticks hold down the fort. The number is 330-781-9600 or 347-9... What's the number? 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Green Room.
The
Whoop.
Women of...
Whoop. We're killing the poor girl. She doesn't even remember her own phone number now.
They remember their bullet talking points though, and they stick to them so tight. It's unfortunate when anyone on any side of a political spectrum mm-hmm. can't take a step back and try to make some sense out of it. Or
I had no idea that Cuba had a medical tourism industry.
They do. I mean, people go there to get treated, and I mean they're training doctors even. You know, some doctors are trained for free. You can go. Some people can go to medical school there for free. They even advertise that as well. You just have to know Spanish.
Is that care available to the general population?
I think they're very advanced when it comes to treating cancer. I think a small part of the reason. Is that they're not, I mean, what happens when you go to the doctor here? They prescribe you something. It's almost like they work hand in hand with the pharmaceutical industry. All of us take some type of pill.
And one thing that's different over there is that unless you have to get treated for something serious, half the time they don't even ask you for ID or no insurance. Right? You just come in, and it's how doctors operate the way that they should. They're actually practicing because they want to help people. And so you can walk in off the street, and if you have some kind of ailment, they'll treat you. They treat everybody. But now if you need something more serious like a surgery or whatever, then, you know, okay, you need some you're probably going to have some papers or behind you or whatever. But over 90% of what people get treated for, you know, half the time you don't even need any identification. You just walk in into a clinic and you're just treated, and you just walk right back out. And it's not like you're waiting hours or anything like that. It's just
so who's writing the checks?
Well, of course, you know, it's a communist country, so you know. I mean, we know how that operates, but I'm just saying in general, their medical system.
Because of what I know about the British system and the conditions in British hospitals, because I've had friends that have actually been in British hospitals, I find that very hard to believe that the general population has good quality medical care.
The population isn't that huge. You'd be surprised, and you know, I've had friends that have been to Cuba and said they couldn't really find food. You know, and I guess they couldn't find too many restaurants or place for a tourist to eat. But my niece told me that Cuban children have one of the highest nutrition rates in the world. And maybe it's because they don't eat all this packaged, commercialized, processed food that we do. I don't know.
I can believe that too. I mean, yeah. My grandfather wouldn't eat a vegetable if it bit him, and he lived to be 82, and he died of an aneurysm, had no problems at all. But everything he ate, they grew themselves.
Yeah.
Very little processed stuff.
I like the Mexican healthcare system. I have a friend who was a doctor down there years ago, and his internship was 2 years of government service, and he was assigned to the rural areas. His job was to make sure that the working girls didn't have communicable diseases, and when they couldn't pay him, they just simply bartered with him for services, and he said it was the best 2 years of his life. And he's a hell of a doctor. That's the training doctors need, practical, hands-on, apps. Training.
was that Mike saying that our entire system is moving towards socialism?
That's how I really see that, because it's a crisis with a government-offered solution, and the crises are being made.
Let me give my counter to that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, I do see government getting involved in all of these different industries, okay,
yeah,
and all of these different institutions. However, this government is being driven and is on the puppet strings of corporations, of big business. That's the driving force. And if anything, it's more like fascism, which is a corporate intermarriage with government, and government doing the bidding.
I think the corporations are in trouble if that's what they think they're doing. Like,
so,
favor government,
the corporations,
I think,
are the corporations and big money is in control.
Brown, you split hairs with me on this before. So you're saying the National Socialist Party wasn't operating as fascists? Were they confused?
Hold on, you're talking about the Nazis?
The National Socialist Party, yes.
I don't even know anybody that's a member of that. I mean, that's something years ago.
Yeah, I was talking about Cuban medical school. You know, Castro came here to the United States at Riverside Baptist Church, and I think it was 2005, either 95 or 2005, and he offered African-Americans to send their students there to Cuba and get a free 7-year medical education to become a doctor. Now, myself and some others personally help at least 4 African-American girls, and I got one in the chat room. Her name is Joya Mosley out of Milwaukee, and we would help her raise about $3,000 every year, because that's basically what all they needed for transportation and incidentals and things like that. But absolutely, they have one of the best medical systems even in the world, and they send children there from all over the world, go there, from Ghana, Nigeria, Pakistan, so on and so on and so on. So what Castro done was an excellent thing. I love the man.
Yeah, he did to medicine what we did to science in this country. We were really good at all the innovations and bringing science to a point, and then the rest of the world manufactured the tchotchkes that science created.
God bless Bubble Jeff. When you make a comment that's factually true, that doesn't agree with his philosophy or his political philosophy or his ideology, he just slaps it down with no information. And now,
Ancient Egypt and Africa brought science to the world that much of the world has progressed off of. Things like high tensile steel, cataract surgery, and you know, many of the medicines and the sciences, astronomy,
the science,
calendar,
geometry.
Geometry, absolutely.
Geometry, building.
I've seen those formulas myself.
The original
so-called Pythagorean theory wasn't created by Pythagoras.
Right. The Greeks stole it from the Egyptians and burned down.
Oh, they went to school there.
Well, they went to school. They went to school there, and after they conquered it, they burned down the library.
Well, yeah. No, that's not entirely accurate. Come on.
I think
we're leaving out about 200 years
between the
events.
It was the
invasion of the Syrians or something. It was a war basically in Egypt. Alexandria actually burned.
Alexandria was Greek.
Oh, AM 600.
How come I don't know that song?
You didn't live in a city.
Can I play that when the leadership comes up here? Can we play that at the Arts and Culture event?
Absolutely.
I gotta breathe some life into that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Come on and round.
that type of music is not real music at all. It's
I don't know, Jeff. No.
No,
it's cool. It's cool to listen. It's cool to do Lakeside now.
Do you understand what I just said?
It's cool now.
Not the highbrows.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's never cool.
They like to. Hold on. I got it.
We're at a big gathering someplace, okay? It was no black people at this gathering. And so when we were playing, and we do a lot of oldies, right? Some Sinatra and things like that. So when we did that, this little old lady came up and said, "That's the best music I've heard all night. Instead of that jungle music you all were playing."
What?
Oh, I still get stuff like that.
Where does that happen?
Jungle, I can't tell you.
No, don't say nothing.
Do you think she was a Democrat or a Republican?
That's Fantastic
Jeff?
Voice came out in the 70s, I believe. About 70s, early 80s.
How? 79. That's good. I like that.
And they're out of Dayton, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they?
But they're out of Detroit.
No. Research team. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I think Pianki just called in. Hey, Pianki, I'll be right with you. I forgot what I was talking about.
Do we have a research team? I didn't know we had a research
Absolutely.
Team. Okay.
We have a crack research
Absolutely.
Team.
Don't you know that? Oh, yeah. I pay big bucks for the research team.
Yeah. What they can't find, they pick up.
You're right, Dayton, Ohio.
That's what I thought. They're out of Dayton. Don't be confusing me. There's my research. You can do right there.
Amazon needs to pay you a commission, Tracy. Every time I come on your show, I got to come over here and I'm downloading music.
You will be able to keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
If you have or had one of these plans before the Affordable Care Act came into law, and you really like that plan, what we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law's passed.
Is that what they've been saying? White House spokesman Jay Carney was asked about the new line.
The president, as awesomely powerful as the office is, can't go back in time.
That presidential promise got a wee bit of a tweak.
He knew words there.
There's some spinning going on as the White House tweaks that message.
The White House has good reason to be in major damage control, and they know it.
Will you email that to me?
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm talking with Mark and Jeff, and I have everybody. Pianki, how you doing, honey?
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing good.
But you don't know how lucky you are for somebody like me to say that. But, you know, earlier you were talking about the Cuban medical program. That is absolutely true about that program there. And that was, we was talking off the air. You know, Castro came to the United States, I think it was in 1995, Riverside Baptist Church, and made the announcement that he was going to provide free medical training for, you know, children in the inner city, African-American and disadvantaged
right.
youth. And we have been a part of sponsoring at least three students. Two was sisters, Joya Mosley, which I left. She's from Milwaukee, and I put her story in the chat room in the PDF file. But and they only need about $3,000 a year. That's what we raised for her during her time, and it works.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
This is the Cuban medical system, and it's a good system.
What do they say? I'm not gone.
Listen, we're not going to be able to get health care here. We're going to go down to Havana. We'll have weekend in Havana to go get medical treatment done.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. We got a problem.
What?
You're not allowed to visit Cuba yet.
Oh, stop anybody else. You go through Mexico.
Right. Go right to Cancun. Fly on in.
Yeah.
Well, Congress made a special exception.
You can't bring a healthy body back because you can't bring the guards back.
You can just take the bands off.
Oh, okay. But then it's not really Cuban because you got to have the Cuban band on there so the people know that you're smoking Cuban.
Well, and you know, another thing, Venezuela was given cataract surgery. India has the best eye lens system in the world with their one company called Aravind, A-R-A-V-I-N-D. Eye lens replacement there costs maybe like, what,
$30? Are you
and
serious?
And the quality of the lens is just as good as you find in any Western country.
Well, now, then that's something. Well, my question is, with some of that, a lot of that stuff is manufactured in other places. They just have to step on it when it comes back home, if I'm not mistaken. I guess no one knows.
That's
medical,
the most silence I've heard on the show in a long time.
Medical tourism. Aravid. Let me give you the link to this.
Brad, what's wrong?
I twerked my back. I twerked it good.
Brad, that's not what twerking means.
Yes, it is. Twerking is a medical term, Carrie.
No. Twerking is... Well, have you ever been to a Luke Bryan concert?
I thought those were mini seizures.
No.
Anyway, I think I need to see a doctor.
Hey, do you have that Obamacare?
Obamacare? What's that?
Oh, it's great.
It's great?
It's great.
What is it?
I started signing up last Thursday, and I'm almost done. That's
all the website I need to find out. Oh, that is
awful. Let's see. Can't be too hard, right?
Why is it spinning?
Oh, it does that.
Okay. Why is it smoking?
I don't... Maybe we should restart it.
Obamacare by morning.
Why is it taking so long?
I'm gonna wind up with hemorrhoids. If I sit here till dawn, we'll have cataracts and dementia. Oh, this is getting on my last nerve.
Obamacare by morning. Over six people serve.
I had to play it. Sorry about that, guys. I had not seen it live. I heard about it, so since you guys were here, I thought I'd just stop and say hi. Eric, you're up too. So did y'all watch the CMAs?
I'm sorry.
I watched no music.
What did you say?
I wish somebody would have reminded me.
So, Pionki, I just wanted to make sure, because you were talking about eye care, and, you know, and somebody said Cuba
was
great.
I put the link in the chat room. The one that's in India, yeah.
But so are our lenses actually manufactured in India and then sent over here?
I don't know where United States lenses are manufactured, but I'm saying the quality is just as good as any place else. It's not better.
I mean, the lenses are made in several places. I mean, you can get them from the Philippines, Taiwan, and India. I mean, there's nothing special about how to make a contact lens. I mean, once it's designed.
These are not contact lenses. These are things that they pull the skin, take it off, take your eye loose. I don't know. I know it's not callus. It's not contact lens. This is the one where they take the eye loose.
Lay it on your cheek,
then cut that lens off the front and replace it.
Oh, a cornea transplant.
Are you talking about a cornea? Yeah, I guess.
Y'all have to forgive me for this one.
All that technology, a lot of that stuff is coming over there from there anyhow, because they are revolutionizing and manufacturing a lot of stuff. We're not making anything in America anymore. All we do is have services. We have tons and tons of services, period. That's all we do. I'm just not quite sure what we make. What do we make, y'all?
Hamburgers.
No, we don't make those.
We make Detroit.
Because the meat comes from somewhere else.
Movies.
But, you know, when you get down to...
No, that's in Canada now.
when you get to science and stuff, and you take the politics out of it, there is interaction between societies around the world that's very conducive towards doing things to help people live better. But when you apply politics, then that's when things get jacked up.
Well, what happened is Fidel Castro forced his people into a situation for of they not allowed to eat certain things, just like what they're going to do here. And so they're going to change the system by changing what you do. So in other words, you're not free still. And they're going to say that their rate of cancer or of I mean that their birth losing births ahead of time, infant death rate.
Okay.
Nothing happening. You don't have first of all. Yeah, you don't have. It's a low rate. What the heck? They still walk everywhere. They don't even have running water and full electricity in the place. You don't have but two people on the island. Your system is good. I can't get over this craziness.
What craziness?
I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry.
What's wrong with Cuba? It's good.
I think we need a road trip to go down there and check this out. Could you arrange for that, Tracy?
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I can.
You know
I'm
what
going.
You know what the literacy rate is? 99.8%.
Absolutely.
But they can only read what I give you.
Well, I bet you it's that way in Africa, too.
I think what Pianki's saying.
Female literacy also.
If you take a step back and look at this whole thing, of course I would rather live here than in Cuba. But when you condemn and you're polarized on either side of anything, you don't, and you're stuck in an ideology, you don't realize that some good can come out of what we would consider a bad system or a system that has its downsides.
I mean, you've got to like the healthcare system where your doctor gives you a cigar when you walk in. I mean, it's smoking good. That's got to be a good healthcare system.
Well, I know I've had cash.
America, there's nothing wrong with America. It's American. It's the Americans that something's wrong with. America is broken because America is broken because the people are broken. And they have given their power over up to entities that don't care about them, and they're too lazy to stand up while they're drowning in 2 feet of water.
No,
it's the
Tracy,
truth.
Come on.
No, it's the truth. Listen. People elected Obama because this is what they said. He's going to pay my gas bill. He's going to fundamentally change things. He's going to make my life better.
Yeah, but Tracy, you and I both know that before people even voted for Obama, he was already chosen. So here, because of the system, the Democrat and Republican machine at play, which is controlled by these special interests and big money in the country, and so the reason for why the country is where it is today is because the government is completely detached from the people. I'm convinced that everybody except for the military and the government could die tomorrow, and the U.S. government will miraculously still go on. You know why? Because they can print their own money. And as long as the U.S. dollar is in circulation, they don't need us. And that's what. And so if we don't get back to the principles that was written in our Constitution, then we're going to always argue about this stuff.
But this is my issue, Alex. We gave over the power to the special interest and to the politician. We were never supposed to give over all power to these people. And that's just lazy.
Not intentionally. We were all been deceived. And we're just
so now you can't wake people up. They don't want to wake up. They like things the way they are.
No.
So when you tell them the truth, they demonize you.
Yeah, but Tracy, look, there was never a time in this country when the majority of people were involved in the political process or even cared, but this country was founded on freedom, and as long as you left people alone, people didn't care, as long as they were able to go out and enterprise as they wanted to. And now we're trying to change the human condition, change the way that, because people, no matter what country, nobody really cares about so much about all these different political details. And so you can't change. It's just never going to happen to get everybody enough
that's
people
just
to,
lazy.
To
care. Am I wrong about the laziness?
No.
It's the laziness on the American people.
No, it's not.
Because people will not. They're drowning in a teaspoon of water, and they just won't swallow.
There might be an apathy. There may be an apathy because everything's coming at you from all sides. And when you have to spend your time to earn a living, to pay your bills.
Hey, Tracy.
How do you attack all of the things that are going on?
Somebody just called my name out. Who's that?
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
In 2016, well, you want to bet that Bill de Blasio is on the presidential candidate ticket.
Hold on. Bill de Blasio that just made it the one that just made it for mayor?
Yeah.
Mayor of New York.
He's
got the
ideal
looking family. Democratic ticket.
Right,
he's got
a black wife
who was once a lesbian. He's got two mulatto children. And,
we already got a white president with a black wife.
Hold on.
Oh, Jesus.
We already got a what?
Yeah, and this lady rivaled Michelle in a red dress.
I said we already rival Michelle.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Hold on.
We'll be back in stuff like.
Now, hold on.
Let's Hillary Clinton look.
Oh, she looks good in a red dress.
Who?
Hillary?
His wife, the Basio wife.
Yeah, she's not a bad-looking woman.
She's a beautiful woman.
His kids are nice-looking children. I mean, it's a nice-looking family.
They are.
But she's
young man.
She's a whack job like him. How do you want
the,
a lesbian?
The son has a big afro like Jeff used to wear.
I remember that picture.
I gotta go, guys. But I got a question. Tomorrow we gotta bring this up because I gotta go back to what we're talking about because I'm so confused. His name is de Blasio.
De Blasio.
He gets more attention than the mayor of Youngstown.
Hold on. Oh, absolutely. Hold on. Now wait a minute. Because tomorrow I gotta talk about family turnout.
He's about 7 foot tall. And I think she's about 5 foot.
They're
a funny looking couple.
What do you mean she's an ex lesbian?
She came out and told her story when she found a man. But she's a very beautiful lady, and I'm anxious to see how he comes about.
Well, it's going to
be interesting
reading.
Should be interesting.
First time they had a Democrat in
20 years.
New York for the last 20 years, and
well,
Detroit
elected
a white mayor.
What was
Bloomberg?
Yeah.
He was a Republican.
If that's
a Republican, I'd hate to
see
what
he
looked like.
The Republican Party became an independent.
Bloomberg is on another page.
How did he become he could have never been a Republican.
It's the same way she was a lesbian and then she wasn't.
He's a billionaire, right? Politics will make you do anything.
It's different when you got your own money too.
So
a billionaire.
The chick in Texas that stood up there and did the filibuster on the abortion control bill.
Yeah.
Talking about
I can't
she's
think of
pro
her
life now. Cause she going for governor.
Oh,
who's gonna fall for that?
Yeah,
oh, I gotta go. Tomorrow. I'm confused.
And you know what's
down.
So funny about that, Jeff, is that there's people that believe in the political process and believe in these people and think that they really stand for something. And even though you may curse him all you want, when Obama was running and he distanced himself from Reverend Wright said something very, very poignant. He said, it doesn't surprise me that he's doing this because he's a politician.
Oh,
and these are,
he said politician.
But hold on, and these are not, and it goes for everyone, these are not principled people. These are pragmatic people. They do what's best for them and best for the situation to keep them doing what they're doing. They have no principles, and you just proved the point. The person that goes from anti-abortion filibustering to pro-life, they mean nothing. And that's all I got to say about that.
Blasey's wife is Godfrey Cambridge in drag. That's a rumor I'm starting.
Who is?
His wife. De Blasio's wife is really Godfrey Cambridge.
Let me look her picture up on my iPad.
Yeah, she's that's Godfrey